behind massive devastation. Just because the weather map shows the storm is over doesn't mean it's over. People have lost their homes, lost their families. People were glued to their TVs. Where will it hit? Where will it hit? It's still hitting. For some people, Hurricane Katrina could last for the rest of their lives. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Do whatever you can. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. If it takes a while, keep trying. Please help the devastated victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters each year. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-HELP-NOW. Right now, the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Since we first asked that question several weeks ago, we've learned that some people can't live without Liz, while others jump for joy about Jackson & Jackson. This is Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis. Send us a postcard or email of 100 words or less telling us why you listen to WGNU. You could win a package of free stuff from your friends at AM 920. Send your postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, 63108. Send your email to cgear@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings continue through Friday, October 28th. One entry per address, one prize per family. One winner announced each day during Today's Solutions with Dave Linehan, Monday through Fridays from 4 until 6. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at wgnu.net.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement. Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C. St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The deaths from this disease are actually declining. But we can't celebrate too soon. The reason deaths from breast cancer are declining is because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings. And it is those screenings that are detecting it earlier and earlier when it's most curable. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you're a woman over 40, take this opportunity to schedule your annual mammogram. If you're a woman of any age and are at high risk for developing breast cancer, talk to your doctor about how often you should receive screening mammograms. And share this with your sisters, mothers, wives, and daughters. If you need more information, it is easily available at www.radiologyinfo.org. Breast cancer deaths are on the decline. Let's keep it that way. Get the information you need about mammography screening from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
Coming up on October 17th, it's a special two-hour edition of Mondays at 9. We should call it Mondays at 8. Our special guest is Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is a professor of psychiatry at George Washington Medical School. His publication takes a look at the actions of President Bush over the last several years. Dr. Frank says the inconsistencies and denials he exhibits are troubling. His tendency to avoid taking responsibility is a pattern that has gone on long before he became president, and this leads to concerns about the safety of all people whose lives he touches. This interview will be full of revelations that will seem outrageous. But when you put all the pieces together, the picture becomes clear. In addition, we'll have several copies of the book to give away to the listening audience during the interview. So don't miss this special edition of Mondays at 9, starting at 8, on Monday, October 17th, with Dr. Justin Frank and Bush on the Couch, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, stop trying to stand. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, stop trying to stand.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Hearing revolution in the air, tell my brothers, stop trying to stand.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. You know, I think that we just couldn't. Sometimes things are just, I love my phrase, a perfect storm on the wake-up call. Sometimes it's just a perfect storm. Sometimes it seems like we are able to be out front on this stuff. And sometimes it's just the timing of things, just perfect storm. Just think about it. All of these stories that we're hearing coming out about George Bush. There is this video that is percolating through the internet. Is George Bush grinding his teeth a lot? Grinding his jaws? That's what people that have drug addictions do in their weakened state. So there's that floating in the internet. There's George Bush saying that God told him to invade Iraq. And think about it. Next Monday, we're going to be having Justin Frank, MD, to talk about Bush on the couch. I have a stack that is literally an inch thick of episodes and stories that are percolating all through this nation about the bizarre behavior of George Bush, and we're going to be able to, what's the technical term, break it down next Monday for 2 hours. These are scary, 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 scary times. And when we talk about Bush on the couch with Justin Frank next week, we're going to talk about the things that push people over the edge. And what's going on in the Democratic Party, in the Republican Party right now? If you weren't a drinker, I'm sure you'd want to pick up a bottle of Bud over this stuff. Even if you don't drink, the cold, frosty one from Budweiser will be looking pretty good these troubling times, difficult days that are confronting and confounding the Republican Party. Check it out. They're having a, let me put it this way so that y'all can understand. Let me break it down for you so that it stays forever broke down. It's not just the Army that is saying, no, you don't have to have no dang high school degree. Drug problem, no problemo for us. It's not just the Navy or the Marines that are saying, you know what, if you're not an American citizen, no problemo. Because we have such a recruiting problem, people with mental illnesses are starting to look pretty good to us. People who can't read and write are starting to look like, the few, the proud, the many. So, it's not just the military that's having a recruitment problem, so's the Republican Party. Dang. Oh, what a difference a pending indictment or two or three can have. Republican politicians in multiple states have recently decided not to run for the Senate next year. You think? Stirring anxiety among Washington operatives about the effectiveness of the Republican Party's recruiting efforts. They ain't the only one that are having recruiting problems. And stirring anxiety about whether this signals a broader decline in GOP congressional prospects. Yeah, think? Prominent Republicans have passed up races in South Dakota, West Virginia. Both of these are states that were, as of the day before a mental breakdown, the day before a pre-indictment, the day before an indictment, the day before, but it was just a couple of years ago that everything's coming up roses for the Republican Party. Now they can't find anybody that will even take a picture with them. These setbacks have prompted grumbling, you think, poor little baby. Some Republican operatives, including some that work closely with the White House, privately point to what they regard as a lackluster performance by Senator Elizabeth Dole. When in difficulty, find a woman to beat up on, or a black man. And since it's challenging to find a black Republican United States Senator, where do white women at? Where do white women at? They're saying it's Libby's fault. It's not Scooter's fault. It's not, what is it? It's not Turd Blossom's fault. Is that right? That's his name. That is Karl Rove's name, conferred upon him by the guy that's sitting in the White House. It's not Scooter or Turd Blossom's fault. It's Libby Dole. But some strategists point the finger right back. With an unpopular war in Iraq, ethical controversies shadowing top Republicans in the White House and the Senate, President Bush suffering the lowest approval ratings of his presidency, the waters look less inviting to politicians deciding whether or not they want to plunge in. I bet they do look uninviting. Additionally, some Capitol Hill operatives complain that a preoccupied senior White House officials have been less than engaged in candidate recruitment than they were in the 2002 and 2004 elections. Well, baby, when you got to prepare for testimony before the grand jury, when you're spending sleepless nights eating, sucking down Haagen-Dazs and Cheetos, as you worry about whether or not you're going to be spending the next few years in jail, it's kind of hard to concentrate on the political futures of somebody else. Woo! Libby Dole met twice with Shelley Moore Capito, Republican from West Virginia. Then she met again with Capito and her father, the former Governor Arch A. Moore, in an effort to persuade Shelley to take on Senator Robert Byrd, former Klansman and Democrat. Bush won 56% of that vote in West Virginia last year, making many think that Byrd, who will be 88 years old, can be halted. But last week, Capito said, you know what? I think I'm going to stay in the House. Now, y'all can't make me come out here and I have to stand next to George Bush and get my picture taken and expect that that's going to help me win. No, baby, I'm cool. I'm straight. Y'all go head on now. Go see if you can talk to somebody else. White House political strategist, soon to be indicted, Karl Rove, flew to Bismarck to implore North Dakota's popular Republican Governor Joe Hoven to challenge Kent Conrad, a Democrat. Rove Turdblossom, Mr. Turdblossom, came there with some compelling numbers. Bush won 63% of that state's presidential votes last year. Hoven trounced his Democratic opponents in 2004. But the good governor said, you know what, sweetie? No, thank you. No, thank you. I'm good here. I'm good. I'm straight. And if you don't think that those situations are meaningful, if you don't think that the situations that I just described are indicative of trouble in the promised land, well, let me go to Florida. Let's just set it up like this. Florida belongs to Jeb Bush, right? Jeb, I have no unindicted children, Bush. He's been able to control the votes, you know, keeping black folks from voting, doing all kinds of things to control. If there is a better Republican-controlled state than the state of Florida, I don't know what it is. And they can't control Florida. Senator Bill Nelson, Democrat, is trying for a second term after winning his first term with 51% of the vote. Close vote. The Republicans can't see. Y'all think that once you let a rabid dog up out the bag that you can make him go sit. That's what the Republicans think. That is the mental state of the Republican Party. We want our operatives to act like rabid dogs, and then we expect that they're going to sit when we tell them to sit. Stay when we tell them to say stay. Remember Catherine Harris? Remember her? Their rabid dog that lied, cheated, and stole and made it possible for George W. Bush to get up off the couch and get into the White House. They can't control her. They've been trying to persuade her to stay out of the race for Senate. And so the GOP said, you know what, bump that. She's just a woman. We're going to go get somebody else to run against her. In Florida, they cannot find anybody to run against Catherine Harris. Well, dang. State House Speaker Alan Bentz was courted by Jeb, I have no unindicted children, Bush. Before he said, you know what? No. Libby Dole flew down to Florida to talk to girl. To try to, and she also wanted to talk to Florida's Representative Joe Scarborough to make the race. They said, no, no, baby, I'm good. I'm straight. I'm straight. Whoo, baby. If you don't want to pick up a cold bush up after them problems, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Trouble in the promised land. Trouble in the promised land. And George Bush has that old, as he would describe him, crazy old Republican snapping at his backside. That John McCain looked like he trying to ratchet it up for his own dang presidential race. Ooh, Lord. Ooh, Lord. Are the bars open yet? Ooh, this is Liz Brown. We got some stuff to talk about. We're going to take a quick break here. I'll be back. 454-0400 is the phone number. 1-877-920 is the WGNU is the long distance. Get to me. I'll be back.
Here's what I want you to do. We must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Go back. Join the NAACP if you want to. Join the Urban League. Join the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Join us. Join the Nation of Islam. Join PUSH. Join the Congress of Racial Equality. Join SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But we must become a totally organized people. And the only way we can do that...
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. King Bridge ramp to westbound 70 is blocked due to an accident that has westbound traffic jammed back to 5570 split. Access from the bridge to westbound 70 is available on a few blocks north after the signals at Biddle. Eastbound 370 at Elm, there's road construction. Two lanes are closed for overnight work that's running a little late. Traffic jams approaching Truman. Stick with I-70 to get around that area. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and Sappington, there's an accident that's been cleared, but traffic jams at 55. Eastbound 70 at Bermuda and Lucas and Hunt, look for an accident reported. Eastbound 70 between Mid Rivers Mall and Blanchett Bridge, everything is on the move. Northbound 55 is jammed in right lanes from Butler all the way to 270. That's due to an accident on northbound 270 after 21. Eastbound 44 between the Chrysler Plant and Big Bend, look for no problems to report. Eastbound 40 between the Boone Bridge and 270, no problems there. Northbound 270 from Gravois to 44, look for heavy volume in pockets. Westbound 270 from Lilac to Washington Elizabeth, no problems there. Westbound 5570 split at the Poplar Street Bridge, everything's flowing freely. Westbound 64 to 5570 split looks good. And northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, those ramps are open and running well. Eastbound Natural Bridge at Brown Road, there's construction. The left lane is closed, and that overnight work is also running a little late this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up Napa conventional motor oil for just $1.39 a quart. Napa, get the good stuff. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, cloudy skies, high in the mid-60s this evening. Cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers, high in the upper 60s. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, still another chance for showers with a low in the mid-50s. And then on Thursday, still cloudy, chance of showers is possible with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920... WGNU, we have 57 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 58, both under cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Learn about Dutch oven cooking at the August A. Bush Conservation Area, 2360 Highway D in St. Charles, on Friday, October 14th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Have you ever wanted to bake at the campfire? Now's your chance to experience the basics of Dutch oven desserts. Call 636-441-4554 to register. Something for you from WGNU.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't realize George W. Bush would be killed in this election.
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll-free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Influenza is a serious disease.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma, diabetes, or other chronic medical conditions, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're 50 or older, yes. If your child is between 6 and 23 months, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you live or work with those at high risk, yes. Influenza will kill as many as 36,000 people this year. It's that serious. Prevent influenza. Get immunized. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Turn on the television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rah-rah, but we got to keep your head up.
I'll keep your head up.
'Cause a new day will come. And love to the sun. Even when the darkness shall come. Oh, oh, oh.
Keep your head up, baby. Oh, this is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff. Good golly, Miss Amale. We got some stuff to talk about. Check out the website at lizbrown.com. Check out the iPodness of the Wake Up Call at whiterosesociety.org. And if you missed an hour, go get your dang hour at whiterosesociety.org. We have some really exciting things coming for the website. You're going to have a lot of opportunities to get some fun stuff for the holidays. Yes, indeedy dandy. Got that coming at you. We broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Whew, much to do. Much to do. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
How you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
I had a couple of things I wanted to say. I read that there was 75,000 body bags had been ordered for New Orleans. This was in an Associated Press report last week.
That is correct. 75,000 body bags.
But they're lying and saying that there weren't but 1,000 people killed. That's the point I wanted to make.
That's right.
I also heard that 200 or more children had drowned in a school because the roof collapsed. Had you heard that?
No, ma'am. I had not heard that.
Well, I heard that, too. Another thing about this man that was beaten, we found, thank God for somebody taking the picture like in Rodney King. My thought was, but I heard what the man said this morning, he had not had a drink,
mm-hmm.
in 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the point was, I think that it could have been any African-American man, woman, or child, they intended to pounce on somebody to make a point. They just didn't know somebody was taking a picture.
No, they did. The camera people were standing right there. The horse, he angled the horse,
yes,
right.
Yes, but I don't think they thought he would have taken the picture.
But here's the thing. No, here's what I believe, Miss Lindsay. I believe that they said, I don't care. You can take all the pictures that you want. Nothing's going to happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's that because pictures have pictures.
That way of saying blacks don't come back down here. I'm glad Jesse Jackson got him a bus and said, you're going back to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I'm taking all you who want to go because out here I was reading in the paper yesterday how that the people who were up there at Alton, for 3 days their welcome reception didn't last a week.
And we're going to have...
were always at the door
and
to know where they had gone. Somebody wanted to take some to church and went back to see them. They were told they could not come back up there.
We're going to have some of those folks on the show. So that's one of the things that we're going to do so people can really understand how folks are being treated.
That's right.
All right.
The welcome reception ends after the news media gets it. Then they
there
get the real treatment.
There you go.
You have a wonderful day.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is the phone number. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
The truth will set you free, Miss Brown. I love your introduction, Miss Brown. If Libby, if you're listening, go pick up Zell Miller. He'll help you, who talked all that rhetoric at the convention. Go get Zell Miller, honey. He'll help you with the parties, Libby. And Miss Brown, you remember good old Zell, don't you? Go get Zell, honey. He'll help you with the good GOP party. But Miss Brown, I love you. I can't stop loving you, Miss Brown. I love you to death, honey.
Thank you.
Miss Brown, guess what? I wanted to thank you so much for getting that brother together who called in and talking about he was a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to tell him to go talk to J.C. Watts, how they pulled his card, honey, in the Republican Party. Brother, go talk to J.C. Watts about that GOP party. And that lady, another lady called you, Miss Brown, yesterday. She was trying to tell you she didn't want to talk about, don't get upset about what happened on the news media. She wanted to talk about her community. You got her straight, too. I said, no, baby. What Bill Bennett did, it ain't over with yet. And I wanted to ask Juan Williams. I should have asked him. I said, when he goes back to Fox 2 News, to ask Fred Hume and Bill Kristol how would they have felt if they had been black and how they would have,
I don't
the
think,
reaction would have been then.
I don't, you know what? I don't think that's the question that needs to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the question that needs to be asked is, here's what I would have done. If I had been sitting next to Brett Hume, and Brett Hume said, after Brett Hume said this, check this out. After Brett Hume said this, because this,
my sense is that there's much to do about not very much. It's not entirely clear to me what exactly the point he was making was that somebody argues is false.
Okay, now let's stop that just right there. Right there.
Better.
When Brett Hume said that, or Brett Hume, what it said that, I would have said, okay, if it's no big deal, if it's not a problem, then what I want you to do is to look straight into the camera and to say, you know, if you just wanted to reduce crime, and that was your sole purpose, if you killed every single, or if you aborted every single Jewish baby, Now, this would be a morally reprehensible thing to do. It would be a wrong thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just wanted to reduce crime, if you wanted to abort every Jewish baby, you could do that.
That's
but that would be more. But see, they would be scared to death to do that, and then not to take it back. They wouldn't say that. They would, because the fact of the matter is every demographic in the United States has people within it that commit crime. So if you eliminated every single demographic in this country, crime would be reduced. So why did you pick black folks as opposed to Jewish folks? Why do you say that?
Thank you.
Why didn't you say that?
And Ms. Brown.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you said that. One more thing, Ms. Brown. I want you to ask Condoleezza Rice and all them black conservatives, honey. You got a good one, honey. You got Duke, but also, Condi, did you see the man get knocked upside his head down in Louisiana? Bill Cosby, did you see what happened? And all you black conservatives, honey, that could have been you down there. Thank you, Ms. Brown.
4540. It was you. It was you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Sheila.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I just wanted to speak about Juan Williams. I was really, really disappointed in him yesterday.
Yes, ma'am.
To me, it seems like he felt like I'm still a part of the Good Old Boys Network.
I believe that he feels
and,
that way.
And whatever
that he
they
does.
Say won't hurt me
yeah.
because I'm in that clan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in that clique.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he once fill in for Rush Limbaugh?
That I didn't know.
Yes, I think he did on another radio station, and I had heard him.
Okay.
But I was very, very disappointed in his answer. I think he sidestepped everything.
Mm-hmm.
He two-timed everybody. And right now, I don't feel he's a part of the black race at all.
I think that what has happened is that, because if you saw the video piece of him, he looked like he was ready to cry. He really looked like he was ready to cry when he was when Brett Hume was talking, was saying what Brett Hume believes.
Now, he said Brett Hume was his friend from way back when.
And that's something.
A friend wouldn't treat you like that.
That was something. None of my friends treat me like that.
No. I bet his friend would even stick up for him if he had to go to jail.
I wonder if Brett refers to him as his friend.
Oh, that's just his dinner buddy. This is my person I can slap on the back and goose and everything. But other than that, I don't have nothing to do with him at any other time.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Sheila.
You're welcome.
We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. Stay with me.
State-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. Sources inside the Bush administration say discussions were held on making military strikes inside Syria against suspected insurgent camps. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice managed to convince the war hawks that this might not be a good idea, at least at this time. She said diplomatic isolation of Syria would probably work better. The U.S. has accused the Syrian government of allowing insurgents to transport men and arms across its border into Iraq in an effort to try and destabilize the region. Syria has terminated all cooperation with the U.S. on intelligence and security matters after constant criticism from Washington. Intelligence officials say they are now suffering a deficiency in gathering vital information from the region because of the Syrian move. And Dateline New York. a new tape has surfaced from the September 11th attack on the World Trade Center. The tape is a communication between subway workers and indicates a heavy smoke situation on two subway lines next to and in the sub-level basement area of the North Tower just before it was hit by the jetliner. This revelation adds support to a claim by former Wake Up Call guest and head janitor William Rodriguez that an explosion took place in a sub-basement area just before the building was hit by the plane. The communications on this new tape have been verified by official Transit Authority transcripts. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Coming up on October 17th, it's a special two-hour edition of Mondays at 9. We should call it Mondays at 8. Our special guest is Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is a professor of psychiatry at George Washington Medical School. His publication takes a look at the actions of President Bush over the last several years. Dr. Frank says the inconsistencies and denials he exhibits are troubling. His tendency to avoid taking responsibility is a pattern that has gone on long before he became president, and this leads to concerns about the safety of all people whose lives he touches. This interview will be full of revelations that will seem outrageous. But when you put all the pieces together, the picture becomes clear. In addition, we'll have several copies of the book to give away to the listening audience during the interview. So don't miss this special edition of Mondays at 9, starting at 8 on Monday, October 17th, with Dr. Justin Frank and Bush on the Couch, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Cut your gas costs in half. Team up to share the ride to work in a carpool or vanpool. Thousands of St. Louis area commuters have discovered how ride-sharing with RideFinders can combat the sting of rising gas prices, and you can too. RideFinders offers an exclusive computerized ride-matching service that matches commuters throughout the region who share similar workday commutes so they can contact one another to share the ride in a carpool or vanpool. The ride-matching service is provided by RideFinders free of charge and is available online at ridefinders.org or toll-free at 800-VIP-RIDE. The higher gas prices get, the more savings you'll see. Add more passengers to your carpool and save even more. Call RideFinders today at 800-VIP-RIDE and ease the strain that record gas prices are putting on your wallet. That's 800-VIP-RIDE.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
You can't miss our interview this morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call. A former member of an Army Special Ops unit has had his life torn apart since he revealed an assignment his unit performed to use an aircraft to bring down the World Trade Center. Timothy McNiven says the plan was devised back in the 1970s and was even funded by Congress under the guise of airline safety preparedness. This would seem to indicate the government had plenty of knowledge about potential terrorist attacks. McNiven said details were so precise that even the use of box cutters to take over the plane were developed by his team. This is a fascinating story, and you need to hear it. That's why we're bringing it to you this morning at 9, exclusively on the Wake Up Call. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Whew. Lord, Lord, Lord. These are truly amazing times that we find ourselves in. It's bad for the White House. Weekly Standard editor Bill Kristol said, and you cannot get any more Republican than Bill Kristol. Bill Kristol defended Billy Bennett. You just can't get any more. You can't get any more Republican than Bill Kristol. And he is saying that there will be one, perhaps several indictments that are coming down out of this White House, or for out of this grand jury. And this is a story that I read coming out of the AP, or what is it, Reuters, I'm not sure. But yesterday during a presidential briefing, Donald Rumsfeld informed George Bush that three Brazilian soldiers had been killed in a battle near Kandahar. And George Bush said, "Oh my God!" And again, this is surprising because it's particularly in light of the fact that George Bush doesn't really hasn't been known for showing a whole lot of emotion. He put his hands in his forward, he leaned forward and put his head in his hands, and it was, "Oh my God!" And according to this report, his staff sat there because they were shocked at the display of emotion that George Bush was exhibiting, and particularly, you know, given the number, three Brazilian soldiers, you know, we've had Katrina, we've had this horrible earthquake in Pakistan, and his staff just sat there and said, "Well." And they didn't really know what to do. And finally, George Bush lifted his eyes and said, "How many more than a million is a Brazilian?" Ah! 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. Pete, good morning.
It's cold, Ms. Brown. It's cold. Hey.
Well, you know, I think it's a fair question. Three Brazilian soldiers killed. It's fair to ask. Okay. Is a million more than a Brazilian?
Well, yay. That's true. That's
right.
Cold, though. That's
right.
Cold.
All right. Thank you very much.
Tell me this. It's quite amazing to me that the story I just heard on your thing about the smoke in the North Tower, that's been killing me. And I heard that before your program with that maintenance guy, and no one is discussing that. Now, is it true that that they had gold and all kind of precious metals and money from around the world stored down there? I heard it was some kind of bank or something down there, or vaults or something.
I have. You know what? And I wish I had thought about that during the interview of Mr.
Rodriguez.
Yeah, Mr. Rodriguez, because that would have been a good question. That would have been. And I've heard a lot of people that has been reported.
Yeah,
I don't know how true it is, but there's been
reported. Amazing that the mainstream media haven't jumped on the fact that we're saying that something was going on down there. And then I went back and looked at some videotape just the other day about how it collapsed. And they said, "Look how it's pancaking, like it's a control." That was the reporters were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what it looked like after going back looking at it in hindsight. But
that's right.
It's amazing. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. Listen, folks, I'm Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. I'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers about the sun. I think I'm
news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, heal me, brother.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. He was accused of public intoxication, but 64-year-old Robert Davis, the man featured in the violent videotaped arrest in New Orleans, told ABC's Good Morning America he's innocent.
I don't drink. I haven't drank for over 25 years at all.
Davis says the officers who punched him were both black and white.
I don't think it was a matter of racial hatred or anything. It was just a matter of him being ticked off.
However, the FBI is investigating whether his civil rights were violated. Another amazing rescue amid the earthquake rubble in Pakistan. Recovery workers cheered as a number of children were pulled alive from the wreckage of their school. Government officials fear the overall death toll could go as high as 40,000. The death toll is up to 34, mostly women and children, in two car bombings in a crowded market northwest of Baghdad. ABC's Wilf Dinnick says the incident is being seen as a major setback.
Salabra is about 90 miles east of the Syrian border, and the U.S. military has considered this Sunni-led area to be a staging ground for insurgents. And they just a month ago led a military operation there to try to shut down the insurgency. So the fact another major bomb has been detonated there is disconcerting, that the U.S. military is not able to stop the insurgents.
President Bush says the government should do a better job finding housing for Hurricane Katrina victims. Speaking from Louisiana at the site of a Habitat for Humanity home construction site on the Today Show, the president also defended his Supreme Court nominee, Harriet Myers, who he says some have criticized for not being part of the so-called judicial monastery.
Just because she hadn't served on the bench doesn't mean that she can't be a great Supreme Court judge.
He also predicts Myers will be confirmed. The sale of the site of a scandal. The Watergate office building in Washington has reportedly been sold. The new owners are said to be paying $86.5 million for it. No word on whether there was an extra charge for infamy. This is ABC News.
In heating, one thing stands alone.
That would be me, your Carrier furnace.
A Carrier Infinity furnace is the most energy efficient you can buy and can save up to 40% on energy bills versus previous models. Now that's hardworking.
I'm like your alarm clock. How hardworking could anything be with a snooze button?
Whether it's saving up to $1,100 with cool cash, our special financing, or saving on energy bills, the Infinity furnace is one hard worker. Carrier, turn to the experts. Limited time offer. Restrictions apply. See participating dealer for details.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
It's a tough time for Yankee fans.
Bam, the pitch, a swing and a ground ball, a diving stop at first by Erstad. He feeds K-Rod covering, and the Angels have won it.
ESPN's Dan Shulman made the call as the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim ended the New York Yankees season with a 5-3 win in the fifth and final game. They did it behind a rookie pitcher, Irvin Santana, who stepped in the second inning when the starter left with a sore shoulder. Fans say they were a little nervous about that.
That kind of scared me, but, you know, Santana's always stepped up and done great in the big game, so that's all he did, and that's great.
The Angels don't have too much time to savor their victory. They'll be in Chicago tonight to face the White Sox. American millionaire and scientist Gregory Olson smiled broadly and said he felt great when he finally came back to Earth aboard a Soyuz space capsule after a 7-day vacation aboard the International Space Station. Olson said the first things he wanted were a good steak, red wine, and a hot shower. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, authorities say a Muscoota mother and son are the victims of a crash in a Metro East Lake. 29-year-old Lisa Domer's car traveled off the road and into Lake O'Fallon yesterday morning. Domer and her 2-year-old son Dagan were killed. There is no word on what caused Domer's car to go into the water. Reverend Jesse Jackson is leading a group of Hurricane Katrina evacuees back to reclaim their homes. Jackson stopped in St. Louis yesterday, saying the New Orleans natives who were displaced should be the first to be offered jobs in the city. Jackson criticized the Bush administration for not having a return plan in place for those residents who were displaced and complained that workers from Central America are being imported and are working for less than minimum wage in New Orleans. Jackson also scolded Bush for Karl Rove's role in the reconstruction process, claiming it was part of an agenda that could change the political landscape of the region. U.S. health officials are concerned about the possibility of a pandemic of the avian flu, which has claimed at least 60 lives in Asia since last year. Dr. Greg Evans, the director of the Institute for Biosecurity at St. Louis University, says scientists' real fear is that the bird flu will change to allow it to be easily passed from person to person.
We expect that this flu would cause many more deaths than the traditional flu does. It would more resemble the flu that we saw in 1918 when there were 50 million people died worldwide.
Evans says there is a vaccine in development for the avian flu, but only for the virus that is transmitted from birds to humans. A vaccine to protect against human-to-human transmission cannot be developed until the virus begins to be passed among humans. Finally this hour, the Cardinals and Astros will work out this afternoon at Busch Stadium in preparation for tomorrow's Game 1 of the best-of-seven National League Championship Series. The rematch of last year's NLCS features the top two pitching staffs in Major League Baseball this season. The Redbirds led the big leagues with a 3.49 earned run average during the regular season, while the Astros were right behind them with a 3.51 ERA. Game 1 pits Cards ace Chris Carpenter against Houston left-hander Andy Pettitte. Both pitchers ranked in the top five in both wins and ERA in the National League this year. First pitch is scheduled for 7:19 tomorrow night at Busch. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate and reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sours traffic and weather. Sours traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Eastbound 70 between Bermuda and Lucas and Hunt. That accident has been cleared, but expect a brief delay. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill. There's an accident. Two left lanes are blocked. Traffic jams in Merrimack Bottom Road. Southbound 270 at 370. There's an accident on the right shoulder, and traffic is slow at McDonald. Northbound 270 on the ramp to Manchester. No report of an earlier reported car fire. Northbound 55 at Loughborough. There's an accident. Left lane is blocked and traffic jams back to Union. Eastbound 70 between Cave Springs and Zumbel. That traffic is heavier than normal. Eastbound 44 from Antire to Merrimack River Bridge. No problems there. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Spady. Look for slow traffic this hour. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant. Expect heavy volume in your 7 a.m. commute. Eastbound 370 between Spencer and Cave Springs Truman exit. Look for traffic easing after an earlier overnight construction is finally cleared up. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44. You've got stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to 79. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. That traffic is building. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split onto Laclede's Landing is slow due to an earlier accident. Westbound 5570 split from Exchange onto the PSB at a stop-and-go. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue to the 5570 split. Look for slow traffic. And northbound Route 3 on the Poplar Street Bridge. That entrance ramp is looking good this hour. Manchester Baird Station, there's a report of an injury accident as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Fly to Fort Myers, Naples from St. Louis on one of Southwest Airlines' three new daily flights. Whether you're flying for business or pleasure, Southwest will get you there. Visit southwest.com today for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Cloudy day, high in the mid-60s. This evening, cloudy with low in mid-50s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers, high in the upper 60s. Wednesday evening, pretty much the same, cloudy with another chance for showers and a low in the mid-50s. And on Thursday, mostly cloudy, still another chance for showers with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 57 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 57, both under clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You can't miss our interview this morning at 9 on the wake-up call. A former member of an Army Special Ops unit has had his life torn apart since he revealed an assignment his unit performed to use an aircraft to bring down the World Trade Center. Timothy McNiven says the plan was devised back in the 1970s and was even funded by Congress under the guise of airline safety preparedness. This would seem to indicate the government had plenty of knowledge about potential terrorist attacks. McNiven said details were so precise that even the use of box cutters to take over the plane were developed by his team. This is a fascinating story, and you need to hear it. That's why we're bringing it to you this morning at 9, exclusively on the Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a measurement back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Oh, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax, and the toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much much, much to talk about. And one of the big stories that is percolating all around, all amongst, all throughout the internet is this bird flu story. I don't think that there is any coinky dink, and I know that you don't think that there is any coinky dink between the fact that George W. Bush's polls are plummeting towards below zero, that Karl Rove sitting there waiting for an indictment, Tom DeLay getting an indictment, Scooter Libby waiting for an indictment. I mean, these are all issues that this administration desperately wants us to look over there, pay no attention to the stuff that's happening in front of you. So it is no coincidence that having exhausted the fear factor of Iraq, this administration is looking for another fear factor-based distraction. So it should be no coincidence that you're now starting to hear about this bird flu that hasn't jumped from human to human. We're now starting to hear stories. When the news of this bird flu is reported, they're saying that a number of people have died and they've neglected to inform you that was from bird to human contact with people that are working with hundreds of thousands of birds. The fear factor press, hardcore press, is on from this administration. And as this administration, and I guess in fairness to the administration, you try to do what you do best. And this administration has made it an art form of using fear to get things done in government that no rational person would ever ask for, advocate in the light of day. Or advocate in the light of day. The Patriot Act was an article or was an item that has been inflicted upon us as a result of the exploitation of the fear factor of 9/11. The latest fear factor opportunity that this administration wants to take advantage of is George W. Bush is saying, you know what? Since we've got this flu thing coming down at us, why don't y'all just let me have the authority to let the military put the military into your hometowns and let the military run the streets amok. Because the cities and the states have already demonstrated that they can't handle a catastrophe as we've well seen in Katrina. How crazy is that? How scary is that? How concerned should we be about that? We need to talk about this. And to facilitate that conversation, we have joining us from Vermont, William Arkin, Washington Post intelligence analyst. William Arkin, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Excellent.
How concerned should we be about this administration having the authority to let loose the military upon us like that?
Well, let's remember now where this debate originated. in a catastrophe in the U.S. in which the civil agencies responsible for public safety failed. So, of course, my reaction would be, well, let's figure out why FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security are incompetent and fix that first before we rely upon the military to do something that the military is institutionally and constitutionally not capable of doing. So,
well, let's start with the concerns about FEMA and Homeland Security, and then let's talk about why the military can't even do what George Bush is asking of them.
Okay. Well, look, we created a Department of Homeland Security after 9/11. Its very function is to ensure public safety, respond to disasters, and we spend $100 billion on this department, and so we should hold that department to task, and Americans should be outraged that this department failed to do what it's supposed to do.
But don't you think that it's been getting a lot of cover? I mean, Brownie was a great example of a distraction as to who was really at fault.
Well, I think Michael Brown was the scapegoat for not taking that accountability to a higher level. This is typical of the Bush administration. And so, yes, should Michael Brown have lost his job? Hey, no question about it. But there are other people who are far more responsible than Brown for bringing the federal government's resources to bear in Louisiana and Mississippi. So I certainly don't think it stops at Michael Brown. And in the ways of Washington, that's the tendency. The tendency is to not look at things institutionally. And I'm sure that as we review what happened in Katrina, in the ways of Washington, what will happen is that they'll also decide that a little bit of reorganization here and a little bit of greater authority for the president here, and somehow there's going to be a miraculous transformation of the government. I don't think that's going to happen.
Is FEMA capable of doing what needs to be done, and is the Homeland Security Department capable of doing what needs to be
well,
done?
Well, yes and no. FEMA is a coordination body. It doesn't own helicopters. It doesn't own buses. It doesn't own the workers and the emergency responders. But having said that, of course, it didn't even do the coordinating. So before we go to the next step and say, well, let's ask the one institution in our society that does own all of these things, the military, to do the job, you have to ask whether or not FEMA actually was even just coordinating, and it wasn't. If the federal government had been in a leadership position, if it had anticipated and seen what the problems were and had been working smoothly to address them, I think Americans would have been much more forgiving about the fact that the magnitude of the disaster in Louisiana perhaps overwhelmed their ability to respond quickly. But what was clear was they weren't in a leadership position. They didn't anticipate what was going on. George Bush was strumming his guitar on vacation in Texas, and other officials were on vacation as well. And nobody mobilized, and nobody foresaw what needed to be done in New Orleans. And so before we jump to the next step, which is, oh my gosh, FEMA doesn't have the resources in order to respond, we have to at least ask why they weren't in a position to call for those resources. So there's nothing that stops the President of the United States from declaring a national emergency and bringing in the resources of the military in such a disaster. There's no legislation that stands in the way of the President doing this. And so we need to understand first what happened that stopped the federal government and stopped state and local authorities from responding adequately before we jump to the conclusion that somehow the military is needed.
And what stopped them?
Well, as I said, I think they were out to lunch. They were on vacation.
How does the Homeland Security Department figure into this? Because even if George W. Bush was out to lunch, even if Karl Rove was having a little operation about something, and Condoleezza Rice was shopping for shoes in New York, the Department of Homeland Security should have been able to hop right on this.
Well,
right?
It should have been. I think there is a problem of focus. We've heard from the Bush administration from day one that the war on terrorism is fighting the away game, so we don't have to fight the home game. And so the focus is outward. It's on Iraq and Afghanistan and other places. And the very strategy, if you will, that the Bush administration has made up is that we're going to focus on terrorism preparations, on preparations for the use of weapons of mass destruction in the United States, and we're going to focus our energy on fighting this war on terrorism so that there isn't another 9/11 in the U.S. And so, in a way, if you will, the Department of Homeland Security had its back to New Orleans. It couldn't focus on natural disasters. It was so focused on terrorism and weapons of mass destruction that sort of the bread and butter mission of caring for the American public went to the wayside. And I think that was just a methodical decision made on the part of the White House post 9/11 that infected every element of our government. And so, in a way, I'd hate to say it, but people in New Orleans are casualties of the Iraq War. Mm-hmm. They're casualties in the sense that the Bush administration is interested in one thing and one thing only, which is fighting the away game. It can't motivate itself to be interested in the basic governance of America. It's bored by it.
And if I may just interject also, it's just so hard to listen to that for many reasons, but and not the least of that is the fact that we're spending $100 billion a year on Homeland Security, and y'all didn't have anybody to pay attention to this.
Well, it is outrageous. It really is, and the fact that, you know, Michael Brown testified before Congress that, well, I asked for more money, or you know, I agitated for this or that, or even at FEMA, this agency, you know, it was put in a position the varsity was counterterrorism, and if you want to play on the varsity team, then you're going to follow the strategy and what the coach wants, and the coach wants counterterrorism, and so screw earthquakes and hurricanes, that's what we're going to do.
But varsity's not doing too well.
Well,
the varsity team is not winning a whole lot of games.
Varsity can always reach into their hip pocket and say, hey, do you want Zarqawi in western Iraq or do you want Zarqawi in, you know, western Missouri? So, I mean, they always have that fear factor, as you say. And it's a key element of understanding the mindset of the Bush administration. They just as much as most Americans, I think, were so taken aback by what happened on 9/11 that this has been a really key element of governing their behavior and their mindset ever since. I think the irony is that a lot of Americans have moved on from 9/11.
I think so too. I think that that's demonstrated in the polls that we see that people are not. Wanting our money to be spent over there, they want the money to be spent here.
And you know, look at the earthquake in India, Pakistan this week. The United States announced that it was rushing $50 million
immediately.
Well, you know, $50 million is I think it's like a minute of what we spend in Iraq every day. You know, it's such an infinitesimal small amount of money, and of course the United States wants to demonstrate its solidarity and it wants to demonstrate its humanity, and I'm all for that. But when you really come down to understanding how much money is being spent on Iraq and Afghanistan and the war on terrorism, how much money flows to the military as opposed to how much actually flows to civil development, it's really daunting. And I think that that also reflects the the nature of our governmental system. The Department of Homeland Security, okay, I say is a sort of, you know, arguing point that it has $100 million. But, you know, $100 million is paying for a whole series of disparate agencies from airport security all the way through to the Customs Service. A lot of agencies that already existed before. It's not like this is new money. This is just money that, you know, has now been put together into a bigger budget. But until we get to the day when civil agencies of our government has this kind of money to spend and this kind of power and can fight the varsity of the Pentagon and the varsity of the war on terrorism to say, hey, you know what, this is our priority and we're as powerful as you are in our government because our budget is just as big and we have just as many resources, I think we'll never be in a situation where when something bad happens in our society, the commander-in-chief doesn't do what the commander-in-chief does, which is to look and see what agency that he has at his disposal has the most money and the most power and also, you know, is the one that is the one that can run the best parades and march most smartly down the street. And that's always going to be the military. So unless we in our society change the balance, if you will, between the military and civil agencies, I don't think we're ever going to really change the circumstances when a Katrina hits.
We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking to William Arkin, intelligence analyst from with the Washington Post. He's joining us from Vermont. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
No, we don't need no more trouble. No more trouble.
Morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Northbound 55 between 141 and Merrimack Bottom Road is slow due to an earlier accident. Southbound 270 at 370, look for an accident on the right shoulder, and there is a brief slowdown. Northbound 55 between River de Pere and Loughborough, that traffic is easing after an earlier accident. Eastbound 70 at Zumbel all the way into our city, look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 44 from 141 to 270, everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Hanley, stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lindbergh, no problems to report this hour. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain into Florissant, look for traffic to be flowing freely. Northbound 270 between 55 and 44, stop and go traffic. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, you've got slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 55-70 split all the way onto Laclede's Landing. It has returned back to normal after an earlier accident. Westbound 55-70 from 64 onto the PSB. We've got stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at Bile Avenue and the 55-70 split. It is slow there. And northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic as well. Natural Bridge at Brown Road. There's construction. That's eastbound. The left lane is closed overnight. Work is still running a little late this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines now has three new daily flights from St. Louis to Fort Myers, Naples. Are you thinking what they're thinking? Maybe it's time to see Fort Myers, Naples. Visit southwest.com today for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. This evening, cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a good chance for showers. A high in the upper 60s as well as Thursday, pretty much the same, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of showers. And a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are sitting right at 57 degrees. Lambert Field has 58, both under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up on October 17th, it's a special two-hour edition of Mondays at 9. We should call it Mondays at 8. Our special guest is Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is a professor of psychiatry at George Washington Medical School. His publication takes a look at the actions of President Bush over the last several years. Dr. Frank says the inconsistencies and denials he exhibits are troubling. His tendency to avoid taking responsibility is a pattern that has gone on long before he became president, and this leads to concerns about the safety of all people whose lives he touches. This interview will be full of revelations that will seem outrageous, but when you put all the pieces together, the picture becomes clear. In addition, we'll have several copies of the book to give away to the listening audience during the interview. So don't miss this special edition of Mondays at 9, starting at 8 on Monday, October 17th, with Dr. Justin Frank and Bush on the Couch, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Akbar Electric, Commercial Industrial Residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call. 382-2568.
Influenza can be a serious disease, especially if you're at high risk.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma, diabetes, or any other chronic medical condition, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're pregnant during influenza season, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're 50 or older, yes. If your child is between 6 and 23 months, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you live or work with anyone in these high-risk groups, yes. Prevent influenza. Get immunized. Some people don't think influenza is serious, but they're wrong. Dead wrong. This year's influenza virus will kill as many as 36,000 people. Influenza is that serious. We are too.
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?
Are you talking to me?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, we're talking to you.
Influenza vaccine is available in a variety of places. Contact your healthcare provider to learn more. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at MMMSaint.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, the Millions More Movement.
You can't miss our interview this morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call. A former member of an Army Special Ops unit has had his life torn apart since he revealed an assignment his unit performed to use an aircraft to bring down the World Trade Center. Timothy McNiven says the plan was devised back in the 1970s, and was even funded by Congress under the guise of airline safety preparedness. This would seem to indicate the government had plenty of knowledge about potential terrorist attacks. McNiven said details were so precise that even the use of box cutters to take over the plane were developed by his team. This is a fascinating story, and you need to hear it. That's why we're bringing it to you this morning at 9, exclusively on the Wake Up Call.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, and you can hear it if you try. and it's growing stronger with every day that passes by. Yeah.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to William Arkin, intelligence analyst with the Washington Post. He's joining us from Vermont. And, William, I'd like to share with you this story that I received just today about how the Bush administration still hasn't given people that live within 20 miles of a nuclear plant access to the pills that could protect them against radiation, despite an order from Congress to do so. The pills will not be available to people in the 20-mile radius until early 2006. And the reason for this delay is the bureaucratic indecision in the past couple of years regarding the agency that should be in charge of the federal government stockpile of drugs. And the issue was whether the drugs and the antidotes for anthrax, smallpox, and other diseases should be managed by Homeland Security. It's not just the concern that people should have is not just about what happens in a natural disaster. Since Homeland Security is in charge of so much, there's a lot of other things that we need to be concerned about that are not being attended to in the light of Homeland Security.
Well, you know, I'm of mixed minds on this one, Liz. On the one hand, obviously, we always want our government to be competent. You know, we want them to do what it is that they're supposed to do and what they're legislated to do. You know, on the other hand, if the government is engaged in a process of scaring the public and has its priorities wrong, you know, on the other hand, I want to make sure that the government has the wisdom of the people to understand that its priorities are distorted. In the hierarchy of dangers that we face in our society today, the reason why the Department of Homeland Security began to focus its attention more on nuclear power plant security and the effects of an accident or an incident at a nuclear power plant was, again, terrorism. It wasn't the routine issues associated with the dangers of a nuclear power plant, which, by the way, I think local authorities have been dealing with for decades. It's that all of a sudden it was elevated to that varsity game. It was all of a sudden a part of the terrorist threat. And I'm afraid that the use of the terrorist threat as a way of sort of scaring the American public and controlling the American public has gotten way out of hand. And so on the one hand, this story sounds ominous because here's people who are somehow living under the danger and of this cloud. On the other hand, you know, there are so many other instances in which the federal government has the wrong priorities and spends its money in the wrong way that we need to ask, you know, what is our priority? What's more important to us? And I'm afraid that you'd be surprised at the local level and at the regional and state level, the degree to which planning commissions and emergency authorities have already done an enormous amount of work to deal with the potentials of accidents at nuclear power plants, and really the possibility of a terrorist attack is so low in the hierarchy of what the concern should be in our society that sometimes I have to laugh at those stories.
But I guess what I was taking out of the story was not so much of the threat of it, but just that if there was a threat, it seems to me that the problem is the fact that the Homeland Security Department is blocking any kind of real dealing with this.
Well, the Homeland Security Department, I think, to some degree, you know, can't focus because it can't focus. You know, if it's being told that Homeland Security constitutes everything from the charade in the New York subway systems this week to dealing with Katrina and Rita, then I think that you know it just is so it spreads so thin in terms of its strategy, if you will, for Homeland Security, that it's not competent in doing any of those things.
And break down for us the absurdity of what happened in New York right after the speech on terrorism that George W. Bush gave.
Well, again, I think that it's the mindset. It's the mindset that we're fighting the away game, that we have fingers in the dike, and if we just remove those fingers that somehow the floodwaters are going to come into America. A source in Iraq, an informant, who has been providing information about the activities of the insurgencies in Iraq, provided a report that said that there was three men who were training to go to New York from this little village in Iraq. I guess they were just going to, what, get on an airplane and end up in, you know, the big city.
With a T-shirt that reads, Bombs Are Us, and do it.
Yeah, and they were going to, you know, attack the New York subway system in a very specific way. Now, this guy, this informant, he's provided 15 other warnings of attacks on U.S. soil, all of which have been proven false.
Mm.
And yet, because the Bush administration and the military system lives under this nightmare, this information got into the system. That New York City responded to this federal alert, as it probably should have, by taking increased measures. But it was only two or three days afterwards that we began to realize how lame the information was that the alert and the threat was based on in the first place.
But wait a minute. Is there a coincidence that this threat received the attention that it did 24 hours after George Bush's speech on terrorism?
Oh, well, you know, there's always Wag the Subway. I gotta think that there's a little bit of that. You know, look, I think it was Pat Buchanan who once said of Bill Clinton that everything he knew about foreign policy he learned at the International House of Pancakes. The Bush administration is the opposite of Bill Clinton. I mean, they're not interested in anything that isn't national security.
Mm. If they attended schools, they got an F in it, because nothing that even
well,
with all of their attention.
Hey, we never hold them accountable for success. That's unfortunate. But I think that the reality is that when George Bush was elected president, you know, we don't forget Colin Powell, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld. Wow, the adults all of a sudden of national security were surrounding the president. We were all of a sudden going to be safe because this person had the foresight to hire all of these adults to now supervise this area.
No FOBs.
And the reality was that they haven't done a very good job from not recognizing the al-Qaeda threat pre-9/11 to do something about it all the way through to today. But we don't hold them accountable. We don't ask them. And I'm not even saying this is a partisan matter. We just don't hold them accountable.
And we have to take a break. I'm talking to William Arkin, intelligence analyst with the Washington Post. He's joining us from Vermont. And, William, when we come back, I'd like to talk about the expanded role of the military being urged by George W. Bush and why that is wrong. Stay with us, folks.
There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? Bought you some cashmere.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Cape Town. A large defense deal between India and South Africa has apparently been canceled by the Indian government after it claims allegations of corruption surfaced. A statement from the India Defense Department says clauses relating to the use of undue influence and the use of agents and agencies have been violated. During the days of apartheid, South Africa was one of the world's biggest exporters of arms. Over the last 10 years or so, the government arms maker Danel has been losing money and is now on the brink of financial disaster. And Dateline Washington. Congress has begun scrutinizing the no-bid contracts that FEMA handed out en masse after the Hurricane Katrina disaster. A spokesperson for FEMA says some of those no-bid contracts are going to be rebid on a full and open basis. But the rebidding is going to only affect the four largest deals, which are worth $100 million each, and went to the Bechtel Corporation, the Shaw Group, CH2M Hill Incorporated, and the Fluor Corporation. All of them deal with setting up temporary housing for displaced residents. Part of the problem is that FEMA has already given about half the money to the four firms and has no timetable for completion. There's also a call to make changes to the Gulf Opportunity Zone, which runs from Louisiana to Florida. Now, under current legislation, nearly all of the cost of business investments are going to be tax deductible, even if large corporations such as the gambling and oil and gas industries were already making huge profits. It's also been revealed that the Bush administration has, for the past several weeks, been opposing any new laws that would have expanded Medicare eligibility rules and raised federal health care reimbursement rates to those states hurt by Hurricane Katrina. This is your wake-up call global news update. Coming up on October 17th, it's a special two-hour edition of Mondays at 9. We should call it Mondays at 8. Our special guest is Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is a professor of psychiatry at George Washington Medical School. His publication takes a look at the actions of President Bush over the last several years. Dr. Frank says the inconsistencies and denials he exhibits are troubling. His tendency to avoid taking responsibility is a pattern that has gone on long before he became president, and this leads to concerns about the safety of all people whose lives he touches. This interview will be full of revelations that will seem outrageous, but when you put all the pieces together, the picture becomes clear. In addition, we'll have several copies of the book to give away to the listening audience during the interview. So don't miss this special edition of Mondays at 9, starting at 8, on Monday, October 17th, with Dr. Justin Frank and Bush on the Couch, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
At Halloween, it's all about the scare, the fright, the horror. For the most scare anywhere, come to Hollow Weekends at Worlds of Fun every weekend from September 24th through October 30th. We have five times the, and five times more. And you still get all of it. Hollow Weekends has five extreme haunts. Camp Gonna Get You With a Hatchet. Carnival of Carnivorous Clowns. The Lore of the Vampire. The Fright Zone. And the new Dominion of Doom. Plus, all our coasters for one low price. So you can scare the
bejesus
out of yourself over and over again. One ticket, unlimited thrills. Hollow Weekends at Worlds of Fun. We've got the haunt that you want. Sponsored by Kansas City area Toyota dealers. Visit worldsoffun.com to book your reservation at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort.
Since 1977, Home Services, Inc. has helped St. Louis's disabled and elderly residents stay in their own homes longer. From repairing and modifying homes in the area to keeping neighborhoods safe, Home Services, Inc. has been there for thousands. If you or someone you know needs accessibility, safety, or weatherization improvements to their home, call 314-531-9779. If you would like to make a financial contribution to this nonprofit organization, send it to Home Services, Inc., 3755 Forest Park Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri 63108.
You can't miss our interview this morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call. A former member of an Army Special Ops unit has had his life torn apart since he revealed an assignment his unit performed to use an aircraft to bring down the World Trade Center. Timothy McNiven says the plan was devised back in the 1970s and was even funded by Congress under the guise of airline safety preparedness. This would seem to indicate the government had plenty of knowledge about potential terrorist attacks. McNiven said details were so precise that even the use of box cutters to take over the plane were developed by his team. This is a fascinating story, and you need to hear it. That's why we're bringing it to you this morning at 9, exclusively on the Wake Up Call.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to William Arkin, intelligence analyst with the Washington Post. He's joining us from Vermont. And William, Bush is now talking about an expanded role for the military. This is post-Katrina. Talk to us about what are the problems with that?
Well, we shouldn't have the military in any way being the primary agency associated with enforcing the laws in the United States. It's not its constitutional nor its institutional role. Again, the Bush administration panicked post-Katrina and suggested that since FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security's were not able to respond to Katrina, then let's just bring in the Marines. And I think that since then, a lot of cooler heads have prevailed to say maybe we should think twice before we do this. This is a traditional and difficult debate in American society. It goes back all the way to the Reconstruction period after the Civil War, when local sheriffs used to employ federal troops in order to enforce the Fugitive Slaves Act and voting poll tax laws at the local level. And when this got back to Washington, that federal troops were being enlisted into local posses in order to do this, a law was passed in Congress, the Posse Comitatus Act in 1878. And that law essentially makes it illegal for local posses to enlist federal troops. And that has since then been a consistent law in our society that has made the distinction between law enforcement and military functions within our society. To dilute that now as a panic to the inadequacy of the response to Katrina would be a real shame.
And there are problems with the military serving in that function. Their training is different than,
well,
say, the
National
Guard.
You don't want a bunch of 18-year-olds with guns running around the streets of New Orleans or anywhere else thinking that somehow they're going to have the skills or the training to deal with a difficult domestic situation. I for one, was extremely upset to see the 82nd Airborne Division walking down the streets of the French Quarter in New Orleans with their guns drawn.
American citizens. We have to underscore that they're not in Iraq. They're not in any other. They're in the United States of America walking down our streets with their guns drawn, pointed at us.
Yeah, and I think that this was just a terrible decision. I don't mind having the military brought in when civil authorities are overwhelmed. But here was a case, again, where I have to say that the people of New Orleans are the casualties of the Iraq War because bad intelligence was essentially responsible for the deployment of the 82nd Airborne Division. Mm. Oh, my God, there's looting and there's raping and there's disorder, and we need to bring in the military. And then what did it turn out? That four people were killed in this entire period? That the level of violence and murders was less than it was under normal circumstances in New Orleans? So again, bad intelligence is responsible for deploying the military, and then somehow we're supposed to be convinced that the military now needs to be in charge? I think that everything about this is wrong. And let's remember again what the military is. What the military is the military is a force whose function is to deploy to fight wars. And every year, as we know, after high school graduations, the military ingests. It brings in 35,000 young men and women into basic training to essentially fill the ranks of the military to be the cannon fodder for our foreign policies. These are the people, then, that we're going to send to the streets of New Orleans with the skills and the sensitivity to be able to deal with a domestic disaster. It is so poorly conceived. It is so ridiculously conceived. I hope that the Congress has the wisdom to understand the silliness of the president's suggestions.
And do you think that they're going to get any traction in attaching this this request to do this under the guise of the avian flu?
Well, I have to look at the flu. The epidemic of fear that came as a result of the flu, and say, you know, what exactly happened here? I mean, what is it that caused the president all of a sudden to once again call for the military to be used? I just don't know where this came from. Sure, you know, they want to focus on the flu epidemic, and they want to focus on what the needs are to deal with this epidemic. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But But where the president got from his head that somehow he needed to call the military out, I just don't understand. The advice that he's getting or his notion associated with this are really silly.
And Mr. Arkin, where can people check out some of your writings?
They can read my daily column at blogs.washingtonpost.com/early warning.
Very good. William Arkin, intelligence analyst with the Washington Post. Thank you so much for joining us on the wake-up call.
Thanks for having me, Liz.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back with you with another great hour. Please don't go nowhere.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop
resisting. WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. The rescues are getting fewer and farther between in Pakistan 3 days after the devastating earthquake, but there are amazing survival stories, including the rescue of a number of children pulled from the rubble of a school. ABC's Gretchen Peters in Islamabad says time is growing short.
We're still in the rescue and recovery stage, but the envelope is quickly closing to find people still alive under the rubble. There are thousands of injured people that need to be brought back to Islamabad or other parts of Pakistan for treatment. That will get easier today now that the roads are open.
Pakistani officials fear the death toll could reach 40,000. Robert Davis, the retired school teacher whose violent arrest was captured on videotape, says he was not resisting arrest when a New Orleans police officer punched him.
How could you resist arrest when you're getting sucker punched? You know, I mean, that's illogical.
Davis, accused of public intoxication, says he doesn't drink. Federal officials are joining in the investigation. President Bush donned a tool belt and lent a helping hand to construction workers building a home for displaced hurricane victims in Covington, Louisiana today. The president told NBC's Today Show he sees signs of optimism in the region.
The storm hit. It was an overwhelming moment for a lot of people. And then they're beginning to realize, the local people are beginning to realize there's hope. There's a chance to rebuild lives.
He also said the government should do a better job of helping storm victims find temporary housing. And he predicted his latest Supreme Court nominee, Harriet Myers, will get the job.
Not only am I convinced she'll be confirmed, I'm convinced that she'll be a fine, great judge.
Now the Red Sox will have somebody to play poker with. The New York Yankees are joining their rivals on the sidelines after being edged out of the playoffs by the Angels. Meanwhile, the Angels have a quick turnaround and a lot of frequent flyer miles racked up after Sunday's game in New York and last night's game in Anaheim. Tonight, they play the White Sox in Chicago. This is ABC News.
Honey, this is great sushi. Where'd you get it?
Oh, I made it myself.
Really?
Yeah, I'm full of surprises.
Where'd you get the fish?
Caught it myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, down at the creek.
The creek?
Yeah, the one by the treatment plant.
United Healthcare knows that people don't always use common sense. Fortunately, we bring common sense to healthcare, like offering affordable health benefit solutions, quality and cost comparison tools, and live and online chats with medical experts. United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
And here they are all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as...
A generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
Some say it's way too soon for snow in Colorado, but Mother Nature apparently wasn't listening since up to 30 inches of the white stuff fell there. ABC's Bill Redeker is in Greenwood, Colorado.
It's unusual because it came in the beginning of October as opposed to November when these storms typically first hit. It has by now moved out of Denver. It left behind a lot of damage to trees, power outages that continue for about 12,000 homes. Three people were killed in the storm, including an elderly woman who died after a tree collapse.
And it tangled air traffic. At one point, the FAA grounded all Denver-bound flights for 90 minutes. A member of the Nobel Academy deciding on the Literature Prize has resigned in protest of last year's choice for a winner, just days before the announcement of this year's winner. Knut Anlund, a member since 1983, told a Swedish newspaper, last year's selection of an Austrian author caused irreparable harm to the value of the award for the foreseeable future. He also called the book parasitic and without a trace of artistic structure. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a suspect in a double shooting in St. Francois County remains on the loose. 19-year-old Nicholas Timor is accused of breaking into a couple's home in Franklin early Sunday morning and shooting them. The victims are reported to be in serious but stable condition. Anyone with information on Timor's whereabouts is asked to call the St. Francois County Sheriff's Department at 573-431-3131. The Cardinals have announced that World Series tickets will go on sale this Saturday morning at 9 o'clock and will be available only by phone or the Internet. Fans who want to purchase tickets online must pre-register at stlcardinals.com by 11 o'clock tomorrow morning for a random drawing. Winners of the drawing will be notified by email and will be able to buy tickets on Saturday on a first-come, first-served basis. Fans will be limited to two tickets in one game, with prices ranging from $45 to $150 per ticket. Those wanting to purchase tickets over the phone need to call 314-421-2400. New research out of the Washington University School of Medicine may help doctors shorten the duration of a person's cold or flu. Researchers looked at macrophages found in the body that consume virus-infected cells and stop the spread of the virus. Dr. Michael Holtzman, the director of critical care at Washington University, says when a person gets sick, their cells are infected from the top down.
And the cells that we were studying, these macrophages, are the cells that come in and clean up that debris and get rid of it. So if they die themselves in the process of cleaning up that debris, then the infection will continue to spread.
Holtzman says they found that specific CCL5 protein produced during a respiratory viral illness actually protects the macrophage. He says finding ways to boost the macrophage mechanism could help speed a person's recovery from the flu. Holtzman's research is published in the latest issue of Nature Medicine. Finally this hour, the Blues will try for their first win of the season tonight when they take on the Blackhawks at Savas Center. Mike Kitchen's club is 0-3, including a pair of one-goal losses against the Red Wings and Sharks in their last two games. The Hawks are 1-2 on the young season after a 3-2 defeat against Columbus on Sunday. This is the third game of a five-game homestand for the Note. The Predators come to town on Saturday, while the Ducks will be at Savas Center a week from tomorrow. The Blues and Blackhawks face off tonight at 7 o'clock. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. And that's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Northbound 170 at Page, there's an accident reported involving an overturned vehicle. Eastbound 70 between 370 and Cave Springs, heavy volume there. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to 270, slow traffic going on there as well. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Hanley, look for stop and go. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain all the way into New Florissant. Look for no problems to report there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall Road, stop and go. Northbound 55 from Green Park to Loughboro, it is slow due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, that traffic's finally starting to ease up. Westbound 40 between Clayton, Skinker, and Hanley. Look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Everything's on the move. Westbound 5570 from the Illinois 203 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. It is stop and go. And westbound 64 at the Bow Avenue all the way into the 5570 split. Look for stop and go traffic. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto onto the PSB. Look for very heavy volume going on there. Route M at Moss Hollow is an overturned vehicle with injury. No injuries are reported this hour. Southbound Memorial at Pine, there's a report of an accident and the right lane is blocked. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Fly to Fort Myers, Naples from St. Louis on one of Southwest Airlines' three new daily flights. Whether you're flying for business or pleasure, Southwest can get you there. Visit southwest.com today. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Cloudy today, high in the mid-60s. This evening, clouds will continue with a low in the mid-50s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of showers, high in the upper 60s. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers with a low in the mid-50s. And Thursday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, high should be in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 58 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 58 as well with some clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. Another great guest is on the line. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You can't miss our interview this morning at 9 on the wake-up call. A former member of an Army Special Ops unit has had his life torn apart since he revealed an assignment his unit performed to use an aircraft to bring down the World Trade Center. Timothy McNiven says the plan was devised back in the 1970s, and was even funded by Congress under the guise of airline safety preparedness. This would seem to indicate the government had plenty of knowledge about potential terrorist attacks. McNiven said details were so precise that even the use of box cutters to take over the plane were developed by his team. This is a fascinating story, and you need to hear it. That's why we're bringing it to you this morning at 9, exclusively on the Wake Up Call.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Young brothers, come to the center. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Young brothers, come to the center. Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. That progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Young brothers, stop
the sun. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. We have so much stuff to talk about. Every Wednesday we do a show on the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We talk about what's happening in the St. Louis Public Schools and the ramifications of all of the different policies, the poor-sighted, poorly funded, incompetently decided decisions and actions inflicted upon a single school district. What I know is that I do that show for a reason, and the reason is that what happens in the city of St. Louis Public Schools is just an illustration of what is happening on a larger scale throughout this nation. And the common theme through the decisions, the bad, the woefully inadequate decision-making that has taken place in the St. Louis Public Schools, one of the reasons why these decisions are being made is because there seems to be an understanding that somehow teachers can be replaced by anybody that's breathing. That education somehow is not something that you go to school for and train for. And that particularly in an urban setting, that little black children should be so grateful for the attention that they get from anybody. Because apparently they are uneducatable. So there seems to be an understanding and an acceptance that somehow that any warm body that you are, and in particular any warm white body, that you will put in a classroom in an urban setting should be enough. Or is enough. Because two things. One, anybody can teach. And secondly, given the students that you're teaching, they should be grateful because everything on God's green earth has already been tried and failed. So just do it and be done with it. That's the energy and the understanding that I have and that we talk about. And apparently, the fact of the matter is that the qualifications are declining, particularly among early childhood education teachers. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Jeff Rook, Executive Director, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. That's PEER. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. to talk about how qualifications amongst early childhood education teachers, how the qualifications are declining. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Just fine.
Wonderful. One of the things that's happening in the city of St. Louis, and it just drives me crazy, Jeff, is that our current board and the mayor of this city have started to replace even special needs teachers with teachers coming out of this organization called Teach for America. One of the things about Teach for America is you don't have to have a college education. I mean, you don't have to have a college degree in education. You don't have to have training in education. And every teacher that is part of this Teach for America gets their student loans paid off because of the 2-year commitment of time that they put into the schools. And trained teachers are being replaced by these children. I mean, young people coming straight out of college into teaching elementary school special needs students. We're having this happen all across the nation, aren't we? People that aren't qualified are now teaching in early childhood.
I think the term that's used is contracting out. I think there's some consensus that there are things that government does well and there are things that government doesn't do particularly well. And I think the thing that the government does the least well is oversee its contracts.
Mm.
And you look across the panorama from Iraq to New Orleans, and the biggest problem is that there's not a shortage of money. It's just that it's being mismanaged, and for the most part, it's being mismanaged through contracts to in large block grants to big corporations.
And how does this connect to the education piece?
Well, it doesn't. I'm here from Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, and I was here to talk about contracting out of the United States Environmental Protection Agency.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Okay, I am so sorry. So talk to us about that.
The agency's announced plans to put 5% of its workforce out for bid.
Okay.
And it's significant in that for the first time they're talking about contracting out positions that have to do with enforcement, people that work in the laboratories that support criminal and civil cases against big corporate polluters would be replaced by corporate employees themselves.
And the whole contracting piece of this, it's, as you said, that the government has just done such a woeful job of picking the right people and making certain that the job gets done.
Well, one of the things we find striking is that a group that EPA is planning to consider contracting out are the financial specialists who oversee contracts. So in the future, you may have contractors overseen by contractors, then overseen by a political appointee.
Excuse me?
The financial control civil servants are among the positions that are being targeted for possible replacement by contractors. So in other words, the people that are supposed to oversee, EPA does a fair amount of contracting already, primarily in the grants to in the cleanup of toxic waste sites, Superfund sites, and things like that. They hire corporations to do it. The people that oversee that work themselves are up for potential replacement by contractors. So you can see, envision a future in the not-too-distant future where you have one set of contractors overseen by another set of contractors, and the person on top is a political appointee. And that's, in our mind, a recipe for disaster.
Well, I think it's really beyond a recipe. It's insane.
Well, it's actually sort of the coming wave. One of the other things we've been pointing to is corporate America is actually investing in EPA in the form of making gifts to EPA for research projects. So right now, EPA's main research partner is not the National Institutes of Health or Johns Hopkins University. It's the American Chemical Council. And these sort of arrangements with corporations have skyrocketed during the Bush years. And we're arguing that these corporations aren't making these gifts of funds for no good reason. They're expecting dividends. And the agency lacks any kind of oversight over these arrangements. And we think the larger problem, because there's nothing inherently wrong with a joint venture with a corporation per se, but EPA's own advisors say that it lacks any kind of coherent long-term research program. And in the absence of a long-term plan, it means that the agency, particularly in times of fiscal stress, is constantly running toward the ball and trying to cut deals. And so what the scientists tell us is that the long-term basic research on issues like how certain chemicals interact with the body and things like that are being set aside for short-term regulatory research that benefit particular corporations, applications for approval of pesticides and other chemicals for introduction into the stream of commerce. And so it's the research program of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has come to resemble the game show, Let's Make a Deal.
And how is Congress responding to this? How is the United, are there members within the United States Senate that actually see this as you see it and are concerned about it?
I think there may be a couple of senators, but I think it's fair to say this is not the golden age of congressional oversight. And so even something like New Orleans, they can't get together to do any kind of concerted review there, let alone on things like this. And so for the most part, the committee gavels are all in the hands of people who don't think about this at all, or if they do think about it, think good, because they don't like the EPA to begin with. They'd just as soon get rid of them and have the whole place contracted out.
And does this type of agenda and this type of movement towards practices like this, is this almost a death nail for the EPA?
I don't know that it's irreversible, but it's certainly not healthy for the EPA, and they're reaching a point where, because of the demographics, about half of the agency consist of baby boomers. Many of them have been there since the agency started. So in the next 5 to 10 years, they're going to be gone, and there's no plan to replace them.
Well, one, I read a story not too long ago about what's happening within the Equal Rights Commission, that we have the same types of things, that people that have been there for long periods of time and know what is going on, they have been so discouraged or they've been so thwarted in continuing the understanding of what this department does that they're retiring, they're quitting, and they're disconnecting from the agency itself. That's the same thing that's going on in the EPA?
It is, and what's also going on is that the scientists and other specialists who are writing findings and conclusions are having their work rewritten for, shall we say, non-scientific reasons.
Explain.
Documents are being rewritten so as to not ruffle any feathers. So projects that, say, for example, create large amounts of air pollution are being, the findings are being rewritten to say there's no significant impact. And it's gone on from the earliest days of this administration to present. I mean, there was an agency report that admitted that the agency public statements following the World Trade Center attack and that the air was safe for the rescuers was absolutely untrue. And there now appear to be long-term health problems that the rescuers are facing because they didn't go into these areas with any kind of containment or protective equipment because EPA said it was all right. To today, you're having the same sort of debate inside the agency with respect to New Orleans as to whether or not people can come back. There were a handful of Superfund sites that are underwater that were highly toxic sites. What are the consequences of that? We don't know, but the credibility of EPA to tell the public, don't worry about it, it's under control, is at its low point.
And we had a guest on to talk about how it is not safe. And we had a guest on from the EPA to say that it is not safe for people to go back, that people should be wearing all kinds of protective gear. And he felt that he needed to say this because of the what you're just saying right now, that the public understanding of what the EPA is going to do or what the EPA should be doing, that there's a disconnect between what the administration wants and what exists on the ground according to the EPA.
Yes, and that person wasn't speaking for the agency. He was speaking for himself, and he's also in a position where if EPA tried to fire him, he would fight back, and he's at the end of his career. But those kind of profiles and courage are few and far between, but the larger point is that in order for these specialists to work for us, to do their job, they have to cast a profile in courage.
And so what does the future look like? I mean, what is it that people can do to bring attention to this?
It sounds like the line from the movie Network. tell people they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore. I mean, for example, in New Orleans, they should be demanding that there's an independent review of what happened there. And the more that there's any kind of outside oversight, the less this type of backroom deal-making can go on. In our view, the measure for reform is that if anything that happens inside these agencies can and will make it to the front page of the newspaper without them knowing how it got there, that's reform. It's only when they can make these arrangements behind closed doors where no one can see them, that's where the problem arises.
Can we look at what has happened to the people in that suffered as a result of 9/11, that went in there without protective gear? Can we look to them as an example of what should be done? Have they done anything? Has there been a response from the people that have been made ill or the people representing them?
We understand that there's a number of them are getting together to sue, but that's kind of after the fact. It would be nice if the agency that was supposed to protect them did their job on the front end so that kind of thing wasn't necessary. And so while it may not seem connected, we think that, for example, what went on in New Orleans and the role of another public agency, the Army Corps of Engineers, unless that's thoroughly examined, it really corrupts the culture of these agencies where they think that not only can they get away with it, but in a weird way, particularly an agency like the Corps, because they are looking to increase their budget, they end up thriving and benefiting from monstrous negligence.
Wouldn't it be a lovely PR piece to get a busload of the victims from 9/11 to go down to New Orleans and hold a press conference and say, don't let what happened to us happen to you?
What would be more effective is if some of the senators and congresspeople who are looking the other way lost their seats because they weren't doing their job.
That would be far more effective. That would be far more effective.
If there was a realistic risk that some of these people would be hauled before a congressional committee and thoroughly examined, that would do a lot. And it's not happening anymore.
And so in terms of advice, because we have a couple more minutes left here, Jeff, in terms of advice for the individual citizens here, they should do what? They should get on the horn. They should say, I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take any more. Get on the horn and say what to their elected official?
That they want independent reviews. They want independent commissions looking into what's going on here. And the other thing they should say, if they get a chance to, is they want to improve the whistleblower protection for the people inside these agencies. So like the guest on your show, they can hear more unvarnished truth from inside the trenches.
And is there a number or a place where people can check you out on the net?
Yeah, it's www.peer.org, P-E-E-R.org. And all these documents are displayed on the website, and you can look at the actual internal documents. We do a lot of that. We call ourselves the Information Laundromat.
Very good. Jeff Rook, Executive Director, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. Thank you so much.
All right.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back after this. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Relicor. Northbound 170 at Page, an overturned vehicle. Left lane is blocked at the end of the exit ramp. The traffic is slow at Woodson. The right lane is also blocked on eastbound Page at 170. Northbound 270 between Sappington and Gravois. Look for an accident. Left lane is blocked. Traffic jams at 21. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh to Hanley. You've got slow traffic as well. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way to Graham Hanley. Look for everything to be flowing freely. Northbound 55 between Weber and Loughborough. No problems to report there. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley is slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Look for everything to be running smoothly this hour. Westbound 5570 between 64 and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at the 5570 merge. Look for stop-and-go traffic as well. Northbound Route 3 between 8th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge. That traffic is starting to ease. Eastbound Page at 170, there's an accident as well. Right lane is blocked. Route 141 at Gravois Bluffs Boulevard, look for an injury accident. And in both directions, Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravois, you've got paving operations going on there that's causing a bit of a brief slowdown as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Relicor. Why did your last diet fail? Stress raises cortisol. Relicor helps reduce cortisol. You need Relicor. Available at retailers nationwide or call 1-800-506-7515. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Cloudy day, high in the mid-60s this evening. Cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of showers, high in the mid-60s. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers Wednesday evening with a low in the mid-50s. And then on Thursday, pretty much the same, cloudy skies, chance of showers, high in the lower 70s. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 60 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 60 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry, call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof, and that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
Selling flies online? Oh, it's not as easy as it sounds.
Trout flies, bass flies, salmon flies. If you're looking for a hand-tied fishing lure, you can find it on this sportsman's website. But to make sure you find his website, he came to Network Solutions. Their online sales and marketing experts helped him reel in more customers.
Here's my crane fly. Daddy Long Legs crane fly.
Impressive. Quite impressive. Lure more traffic to your business. Visit networksolutions.com. And go, Father.
This is your Vanguard Insight on counting. Two hypothetical investors invest $5,000 a year. Both earn 8% before expenses, compounded for 20 years. Jeff pays fees and expenses of 1.3%. Jim just 0.3%. Jim ends up with over $28,000 more. To see how it all adds up for you, connect with Vanguard at 1-800-VANGUARD.
Mutual funds are subject to risk. Call for a fund prospectus, which includes investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information. Read and consider it carefully before investing. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Wednesday morning at 8 on the Wake Up Call, our guest is Mark Price, labor economist with the Keystone Research Center. He's co-author of a new study that reveals qualifications for early childhood education teachers have been dropping over the past 20 years. About one out of every three teachers and administrators now only has a high school diploma or less. The main problem is low pay. Quality early education is vital for children to succeed in school and in life. But why are they not getting it? We'll take a closer look at this appalling situation Wednesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement. Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C. St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191. Online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, the Millions More Movement.
You can't miss our interview this morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call. A former member of an Army Special Ops unit has had his life torn apart since he revealed an assignment his unit performed to use an aircraft to bring down the World Trade Center. Timothy McNiven says the plan was devised back in the 1970s, and was even funded by Congress under the guise of airline safety preparedness. This would seem to indicate the government had plenty of knowledge about potential terrorist attacks. McNiven said details were so precise that even the use of box cutters to take over the plane were developed by his team. This is a fascinating story, and you need to hear it. That's why we're bringing it to you this morning at 9, exclusively on the Wake Up Call. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. This weekend is the Millions More Movement. And I kind of... if you could do me a favor, Howard, could you hook up that piece on organization that I have on my disc? Because I want There are a couple of things that I really want to remind people of, and to let people feel that even if they can't go, they need to support this, and that if they are going to go, what they need to be doing. Let's hear some of that, because this is from 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Check this out.
It's the commemoration of the...
The organization music piece that we played. And this is kind of a reminder of what we did 10 years ago.
Understand, this is for all of my ancestors who were raped, who were killed, and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me, and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up, and we're still talking about revolution.
Every one of you, my dear brother, when you go home, here's what I want you to do. We must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Go back. Join the NAACP if you want to.
Ron Walters, please.
Join the Urban League. Join the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Join us. Join the Nation of Islam. Join Bush. Join the Congress of Racial Equality. Join SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But we must become a totally organized people. And the only way we can do that is to become a part of some organization that is working for the uplift of our people. We must keep the local organizing committees that made this event possible. We must keep them together. Go back and join the local organizing committee. And then all of us as leaders must stay together and make the National African American Leadership Summit inclusive of all of us. Now, many of the people that's in this house right here are put there by the margin of the black vote. So, in the next election, we want to see who in here do we want to stay? And who in here do we want to go? And we want to show them that never again will they ever disrespect the black community. We must make them afraid to do evil to us and think they can get away with it. We must be prepared to help them if they're with us, or to punish them if they're against us. And when they're against us, I'm not talking about color. I'm talking about an agenda that's in the best interest of the black, the poor, and the vulnerable in this society.
10 years ago, 10 years ago, Minister Louis Farrakhan had those words to share with those that went to, that those that attended the Million Man March. And I was looking at an article from Dr. Ron Walters. He says that there, as a result of, after the Million Man March, 2 million more African men showed up at the nation's polls to vote in 1996 elections than they did in 1992. Here is the thing, that there are a million opportunities for us if we take to heart the words that were being said 10 years ago. if you weren't clear about the power of politics, you should be clear now in the era of Karl Rove. Now, sure, he's getting ready to be indicted, but understand the politicalness of his agenda and what that can bring. I mean, he has exploited and he has taken advantage of the place where he is in as a result of politics. But that does not negate the fact that there should be a political agenda. You should make folks fear you. Fear you. And let me just underscore something, that I want to get to a caller or two here, because the fact of the matter is this. Last week, I'm going to give you a small example of the power that you have and why the Millions More movement should be of interest to you and should be of concern to you in either support or participation. Last week, I think it was, we had on the executive director of Bread for the World. And he was telling our audience about an important vote about food stamps that was coming up last week. That in the era of Katrina, in the era of what has been revealed to those who have had their eyes closed or half cracked, that we have an incredible issue of poverty and disparity and racism in this country. And in the light of that, and despite that, there are members of Congress, United States senators, that were fixing to cut food stamps to women who were put from welfare to work. We're talking about $80 a month for food. That was going to end. That heartless act was going to, heartless, irresponsible act was fixing to take place in our United States Congress. Well, the day that we had the executive director of Bread for the World on our show, started telling folks to call Jim Talent, the senator that sits on the Agricultural Committee. The next day we learned that the vote had been postponed. And I subsequently found out, that would be yesterday found out, that the vote was postponed on this bill for different reasons. It was shelved for different reasons, not irrespective of the food stamps issues. But this is what I found out, and this is what you need to take away from what the minister is saying and why the Millions More movement and participation in it is so important. It was told to me that a person who had a conversation with Jim Talent said, I was so surprised Senator Jim Talent was talking about, you know what, I'm having trouble with the elimination of these food stamps. All of your calls made a difference. It makes a difference when you involve. We did that. Your calls make that. Participation in the political spectrum is vital to your future. Is vital to your life. You must make them afraid to do evil against you and think they can get away with it. I don't know of any more powerful statement about how politics is supposed to operate. They should be afraid to do evil against you. It is evil to say, let's eliminate a lousy $80 a month in food stamp for women with children. Women with children. Working women with children. Let's eliminate that. That is evil. There's no other word for that. Evil, heartless, and indefensible. Howard, play us out with that, and I'll get back to you. Brother Robert, I want to get to you. Don, I want to get to you. Others, I want to get to you all. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. And just listen to, just feel this. Feel this.
Understand, this is for all of my ancestors who were raped, who were killed, and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me, and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Every one of you want you to do. We must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Go back. Join the NAACP if you want to. Join the Urban League. Join the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Join us. Join the Nation of Islam. Join Bush. Join the Congress of Racial Equality. Join SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But we must become a totally organized people. And the only way we can do that is to become a part of some organization that is working for the uplift of our people. We must keep the local organizing committees that made this event possible. We must keep them together. Go back and join the local organizing committee.
Coming up on October 17th, it's a special two-hour edition of Mondays at 9. We should call it Mondays at 8. Our special guest is Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is a professor of psychiatry at George Washington Medical School. His publication takes a look at the actions of President Bush over the last several years. Dr. Frank says the inconsistencies and denials he exhibits are troubling. His tendency to avoid taking responsibility is a pattern that has gone on long before he became president, and this leads to concerns about the safety of all people whose lives he touches. This interview will be full of revelations that will seem outrageous, but when you put all the pieces together, the picture becomes clear. In addition, we'll have several copies of the book to give away to the listening audience during the interview. So don't miss this special edition of Mondays at 9, starting at 8, on Monday, October 17th, with Dr. Justin Frank and Bush on the Couch, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline London. The British government is considering a program that would allow schools to offer vaccinations to girls against cervical cancer. Tests have indicated that this new vaccine, called Gardasil, protects against two strains of the virus that causes 70% of cervical cancer. Girls as young as 10 years old could be candidates for the vaccine, since they're reported to be sexually active at that age. Researchers say the vaccine is so good that it's likely cervical cancer could be eradicated with such a program. And Dateline Washington. The Bush administration has gone to some of the most unprecedented levels to maintain secrecy about its activities. And a new revelation indicates just how deep that is. On November 1, 2001, Mr. Bush signed an executive order numbered 13233. That order says a former president's private papers can be released only with the approval of both that former president or his heirs and the current president in office. Before he signed that order, the National Archives made the decision on release of documents under the Presidential Records Act of 1978. That law said that all papers were to be made available 12 years after a president left office, except those that pertained to national security items. Former President Clinton said he objected to this executive order because he wants all of his papers open, but the Bush administration will not allow them to become public. The order also grandfathers Ronald Reagan's papers from ever being released. This is causing serious concerns because they could have provided key information about the Iran-Contra scandal, but they also could have indicated what part former President Bush Sr. had in it. Unless some legal precedent is established, history may never be able to tell us why we went to war in Iraq or why the response to the Katrina disaster was a disaster in itself, not to mention anything about the sweetheart deals that big corporations have been getting with government contracts during Mr. Bush's time in office. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, My blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
You tune in to Rasta Resolutions, the number one reggae program in America. King Silos, Rasta Resolutions comes your way every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Also on the net, that's www.wgnu.net, Rasta Resolutions.
You can't miss our interview this morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call. A former member of an Army Special Ops unit has had his life torn apart since he revealed an assignment his unit performed to use an aircraft to bring down the World Trade Center. Timothy McNiven says the plan was devised back in the 1970s and was even funded by Congress under the guise of airline safety preparedness. This would seem to indicate the government had plenty of knowledge about potential terrorist attacks. McNiven said details were so precise that even the use of box cutters to take over the plane were developed by his team. This is a fascinating story, and you need to hear it. That's why we're bringing it to you this morning at 9, exclusively on the Wake Up Call. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Bryan.
We must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. This weekend, Millions More Movement. I just had to take the trip back 10 years to the things that the minister said. And for those of you that can't go, they have some wonderful items, wonderful t-shirts, wonderful caps available at 361-9191. Call them. Support it in that way. Pay for a trip, for a bus ride, for somebody. Go yourself. There's something that you can do. There's something that you can do. Brother Robert, good morning.
Peace and blessings, Queen. How you feeling?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
By love, sweet. I am well. Taking it back 10 years ago, listening to that excerpt from the minister's lecture, that excerpt actually energized me to start listening to your radio program, because a brother told me about it, and I got up one morning years ago, and I heard that. And when I stopped hearing it on the radio, I kind of got, I'll say, man, what happened to the fervor? Because most of us won't openly admit that there's no voice out there that can get people's attention and to mobilize the masses of the people like the voice coming from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And this weekend's event is really a historic event going on in our lifetime, just like the Million Man March was a actually a miracle in our lifetime, that the masses of us either don't outrightly bear witness to it or really don't know that much about it. And I was interested to ask you, if you saw or if you had an opportunity to hear the minister's lecture when he was in St. Louis recently.
I have heard it. Yeah, absolutely. And there, Brother Robert, there is so much that is connected, and it almost is like drawing us to that place, drawing you to Washington, D.C. again this year, this weekend.
You better believe it.
You know, I think that just going back, just taking that trip back, that to listen to what he was saying,
yes,
10 years ago is prophetic. You know,
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. Especially the section in there where he says, "Now the margin of those people in the White House was put there by the many of them were put there by the margin of the black vote," and you gave the people a magnified view of the power of the black vote. But see, this is something that goes on 24/7, and as you constantly have on your radio program, you have issues that actually magnify the importance of the unity of our community. And don't let anybody come into our community to put down our community. It's time to be a family, no matter what shade we are or what our religious affiliation is. We don't have the luxury of being separated based on those little frivolous things, because as we are seeing all over the world, God is angry.
Mm.
And whether we want to admit it, I had a brother tell me he refuses to believe that a God of righteousness will cause such a devastation. Well, see, I don't even get involved in conversations like that, because that's when you know you're talking to a manifest who. Because we got the history right on the book. We have the luxury of reading about Sodom and Gomorrah.
And I'm sorry. I am so sorry, Brother Robert. That has to be the last word.
Oh, that's fine, brother.
Thank you so much.
May Allah bless you and keep you.
Absolutely. You too.
Thank you, Allah.
This is Liz Brown. I will be back in the next hour. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Police officers is telling his side of the story. ABC's Jim Hickman has
64-year-old Robert Davis says he was out to buy cigarettes and stopped to ask a New Orleans cop about curfew regulations. He tells ABC's Good Morning America another officer interrupted. Davis told him that was rude. He says when he walked away, the second officer attacked him.
The guy came by and sucker punched me, hit me in my eye, and threw me up against the wall.
Three New Orleans policemen have pleaded not guilty in the altercation. They claim Davis resisted arrest and was intoxicated. Davis says he hasn't had a drink in 25 years. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The challenges are mounting in Pakistan 4 days after the devastating earthquake. ABC's Gretchen Peters tells us relief agencies in Islamabad are struggling to meet the enormous need.
There are millions, literally millions, of hungry, cold people left without homes, food, or water. Those who've been injured who are surrounded by many dead bodies are in an even worse situation. Aid workers today are starting to raise the possibility that there could be widespread disease.
The death toll could reach 40,000. President Bush said the government should do a better job of finding long-term housing for displaced hurricane victims. On NBC's Today Show, speaking from Louisiana, he was asked if his frequent trips to the hurricane zone were an effort to get a second chance to make a good first impression.
I do my job as best I can. One of the things that we do is we respond to crises. And as I told the people, if I didn't respond well enough, we're going to learn the lessons.
In Iraq, two suicide car bombings rocked a crowded market northwest of Baghdad, killing at least 34 people. Now you can browse for blogs on Yahoo. Under Yahoo's new blog search tool, a keyword search for online news will include a list of relative weblogs or blogs displayed in a box to the right of mainstream journalism results. This is ABC News.
Honey, this is great sushi. Where'd you get it?
Oh, I made it myself.
Really?
Yeah. I'm full of surprises.
Where'd you get the fish?
Caught them myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, down at the creek.
The creek?
Yeah, the one by the treatment plant.
United Healthcare knows that people don't always use common sense. Fortunately, we bring common sense to healthcare, like offering affordable health benefit solutions, quality and cost comparison tools, and live and online chats with medical experts. United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
And here they are all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASB and SIPC.
A fan in the stands outshined the players on the field in Sunday's Game 4 of the Braves-Astros series in Houston. ABC's Chuck Severson says he took home two souvenirs.
Sean Dean of Porter, Texas, first caught Lance Berkman's grand slam in the eighth inning, sitting in the second row of the boxes above the left field wall. 3 hours later in the longest postseason game ever, Chris Burke was up.
And there's a high drive.
Jim Durham on ESPN Radio.
This ball is gone. The Astros have won it.
Dean says he never caught a ball at a game. He says he'll probably give the second one to Burke because it made history. Dean says on his way out of the ballpark, several people suggested he buy a lottery ticket or go to Vegas. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Longtime Steve Allen sidekick, comedian Louie Nye, has died in Los Angeles after a battle with lung cancer. He was 92. Nye's nightly greeting, "Hi-ho, Steve Areno," on Allen's show became a signature in the 50s. In the 60s, he played spoiled playboy Sonny Drysdale on the Beverly Hillbillies. Nye also had a recurring role on Curb Your Enthusiasm as the father of Jeff Garland's character. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the suspect in a South St. Louis police standoff has been charged. 25-year-old Kerry Johnson is charged with two counts of third-degree assault, one count of second-degree domestic assault, and one count of unlawful use of a weapon. Police say Johnson hit his wife in the stomach with a rifle Sunday night and then barricaded himself inside his home on Guyer with his three children. Authorities say the children were later released unharmed before Johnson surrendered. St. Louis Cardinals shortstop David Eckstein is helping to spread the word about organ donations. Eckstein is teaming up with MidAmerica Transplant Services and creating special t-shirts designed to get people to become organ donors. Tammy McLean, a spokesperson for MTS, says with the cards in the playoff, the t-shirts in the issue will get a lot of attention.
There are 90,000 people waiting in the U.S., so this is really, you know, a national, obviously, if not international issue. So the more attention that we can get for the cause, the more lives are going to be saved, and that's what's really exciting about this project.
The red shirts feature a picture of Eckstein, his autograph and number, and the words donor card. They sell for $20 at all Famous Bar stores or online at www.todayschance.com. A portion of proceeds from shirt sales will benefit MTS. Four members of Eckstein's family have undergone organ transplants. Average gas prices leap towards the $3 a gallon mark as the oil industry recovers from two devastating hurricanes. This past week's Metro Source Price at the Pump survey showed gas prices have spiked to a national average of $2.92 a gallon. That's an increase of 8 cents from the week before. Premium unleaded prices also climbed 8 cents over the past week to an average of $3.12 a gallon. The survey shows the most expensive gas in the nation is once again in New York City. The Big Apple has been at the top of the charts for a month ever since the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. New Yorkers pay an average of $3.29 per gallon for regular unleaded. Washington, D.C. has the second highest price of gas among surveyed cities at $3.15 a gallon. The other cities in the top five were all along the East Coast. Portland, Oregon was the surveyed city with the cheapest gas. A gallon of regular unleaded there costs an average of $2.67. Allentown, Pennsylvania has the second lowest price of gas at $2.69 a gallon. Finally this hour, the animated British duo Wallace and Gromit are making a splash with their feature debut. Wallace and Gromit: The Curse of the Were-Rabbit topped the box office charts in its first week of release. The picture made just over $16 million during the 3 days beginning October 7th. Jodie Foster's Flight Plan lost altitude due to the overseas sensations. After 2 weeks at number one, it slipped to second place with $10.8 million of tickets sold. Two brand new movies, In Her Shoes and Two for the Money, opened in third and fourth places, respectively. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Blake and Davis Realtors. Interested in buying or selling a home? Call James Cords at Blake and Davis Realtors. You'll get a real hometown advantage with their e-advantage, excellence, expertise, and experience, all at Blake and Davis. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Northbound 55 at Holly Hills, there's an accident. Two right lanes are blocked. Expect delays in that river to bear. Eastbound 70 between Mid-Rivers and Blanchett Bridge. Everything's running smoothly. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way to New Florissant. Everything looks good this hour. Westbound 70 at 94, there's road construction. Left lane is closed. Westbound 40 at Hampton and Hanley, look for no problems to report. Northbound 270 at 44, that traffic has finally returned back to normal. Westbound 70 at Grand Road, there's maintenance operations and the exit ramp is closed. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing all the way, everything looks good there. Westbound 5570 split at Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report there. Eastbound 364 over Creepcore Lake, two left lanes are closed due to bridge work. Around 9:30 this morning, crews will reopen the two left lanes and then close the three right lanes to complete the work sometime next week. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up some Napa conventional motor oil for just $1.39 a quart. Napa, get the good stuff. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday for today. Cloudy skies, high in the mid-60s this evening. Cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy. 30% chance of showers, high in the upper 60s. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy once again. Another chance for rain with a low in the mid-50s. And then on Thursday, still cloudy with another chance for rain. The high, however, will be in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we're hovering at 59 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field has 58 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for another hour of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You can't miss our interview this morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call. A former member of an Army Special Ops unit has had his life torn apart since he revealed an assignment his unit performed to use an aircraft to bring down the World Trade Center. Timothy McNiven says the plan was devised back in the 1970s and was even funded by Congress under the guise of airline safety preparedness. This would seem to indicate the government had plenty of knowledge about potential terrorist attacks. McNiven said details were so precise that even the use of box cutters to take over the plane were developed by his team. This is a fascinating story, and you need to hear it. That's why we're bringing it to you this morning at 9, exclusively on the Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone
city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. The struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal citizenship.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I don't know. I see the stories that are percolating through the news and the web and the world about this administration, and in particular the Republicanness of this administration. Folks talk to me all the time about politics, and they say, well, you know, they're in office, and they're in office as a result of what happened in the year 2000. And what I like to say back to folks is that they're not in office because of what was done in 2000. They're in office because of a concerted 30-year plan. After Barry Goldwater, we're going to redefine our party. We are going to put our think tanks in place. We are going to fund our think tanks. We are going to go to college campuses and grow us some people that 30 years from now will do our bidding. It was part of an organized 30-year or more plan, a march towards power. And I share that story with you prior to a discussion with our guest this morning, because I am of the belief, given the history of this country, and also given an understanding of how the world operates, there are very few things that happen chance. And the current configuration of the White House is not a fluke by any means. It's the result of hard work over more than 30 years of people with an agenda. So when things happen, fast forward to the 2000s, when things happen in other places, we need to be mindful. We at least need to consider, given the fact that things happen in this country as a result of concerted, thought-out plans, or as a result of other people not planning, we need to ask the question of, was there a plan involved with this, and what was it? I remember I was on vacation the day that the Twin Towers went down. I remember I was on vacation the day that Katrina hit. Pattern there. I remember coming back from vacation to talk about
the Twin Towers and what happened. And I remember I received more hate mail, more people calling my boss than I have ever had in my career on the air. Because when I got on the air in 2001 and said that I think that there's something stinky and hinky about these towers going down, I don't think it happened like they said that it happened. I got more hate mail for that than any other thing that I've ever said on the air. And y'all know what I've said on the air. And looky, looky. Things come full circle. Think that a little time passes. A few indictments handed out over here. The promise of indictments over there. Katrina happening. Iraq failures happening. Now people have been softened up to the possibility of, you know, maybe we need to be looking at and reconsidering a lot of things. So this show is really dedicated to you all that have been softened up a little bit out here by the reality of the political world that you live in, that things happen with a plan in this country. And we're going to talk about another 30-year-old plan. My guest this morning, joining me from Washington State, Tim McNiven, a former special ops soldier and also a reporter for the Arctic Beacon that broke Tim McNiven's story. Craig Seismansky, he is also joining us. Tim, good morning.
Hello.
Tim, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
And Greg, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Tim, I want to start with you. Take us back to 1976. What were you doing in 1976?
I was in the U.S. Army assigned to C Battery, 2nd of the 81st Field Artillery, stationed on Strasbourg Caserne in Idar-Oberstein, West Germany.
So you were in West Germany. And what was your job?
Well, I was a clerk for the motor pool supply, an enlisted man, and that was my job, you know, at the time.
And you were a corporal there in Germany.
Well, I was an E4.
An E4.
Which is similar to a corporal. I was a specialist, but not an NCO rank. But.
How old were you at the time?
About 22.
So you were relatively a youngster.
Yeah.
Okay. And while you were stationed there in Germany, there was an assignment that your unit was given. Talk to us about this assignment and who brought it to you all.
Yeah. Well, one day I was told to report to our battery's office. And so I went to the office and Lieutenant Teague, one of the battery's officers, told me.
Was it just you, Tim?
Oh, well, on the first day, you know, when they called me to the office, it was kind of like an introduction into, you know, what was going to take place.
And was it just you that was called to the office, or were there other soldiers called as well?
I think they called us individually to explain us, you know, the first day, because that's what they did to me.
Okay, so you were the only person in there, and they were explaining to you what was getting ready to happen. What did they tell you?
Well, they said that I was going to take part in a study to, you know, improve U.S. air travel security, and I was explained what the situation was going to be, and that was that we were going to hijack an airliner and crash it into a 100-story building in the U.S., and that we were to think about ways that, you know, we, you know, would carry out this mission of the hijacking.
What skill did you have at the time that could have that you could have used to contribute to such a request?
Well, I guess like all of the other, you know, members of the unit, just, you know, we were in the Army and we got picked by, you know, the Defense Department to take part in this. Like, I don't think, you know, any of us really had any special training, you know, other than most of us were like high school graduates that, you know, got out, couldn't get jobs and joined the Army. So, you know, I don't think we had any special skills, and they just wanted like a broad spectrum of opinion
about how you would do this.
Yeah, they weren't looking for like any specific way. They wanted to get as many different ways that they, you know, that this could be done, so they could, you know, make countermeasures to prevent it. So it was like an open discussion, and no answer was wrong.
Well, what did you think when they asked that of you? They asked you to think about that.
Well, the first day I thought it was kind of unusual, but, you know...
And why did you think it was unusual?
I was so young.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know much about what the Army was doing. I'd only been in for a little over a year, so...
And how long had you been in Germany there?
Oh, I'd been in Germany. Well, I got to Germany in February of 75, so I'd been, you know, in Germany for about a year.
Okay. So they sat you down and they talked to you about coming up with ideas, discussion points, if you will, of how to take down a building. Did they tell you any other specifics of what you were supposed to factor into this equation?
No, we were allowed to, you know, give any answer, you know, that we would come up individually. Like when we got asked, like, what kind of weapons, you know, would be taken on board to, you know, do this, you know, I had suggested, you know, a box cutter because I thought, you know, it was so thin of a metal that it might get through a metal detector. And Sergeant Middleton, you know, he, you know, put in his opinion that he had a relative that worked at a airport in the luggage area, and he said, well, you can get weapons on an airplane through the luggage area because there was so much drug smuggling going on the airlines that the luggage people, you know, looked the other way. They just, you know, did their job and didn't, you know, question any people that they saw in the area that weren't, you know, like in their specific airline uniforms.
So you went from a point of, Tim, of having this individual meeting going into like a group setting? Is that how it happened?
Well, on different days, like Lieutenant Teague and Sergeant Middleton, you know, were discussing with me, and then there were other days, Sergeant Riggs. So it's like what I took part in was they asked me and then maybe another person like Sergeant Middleton or Sergeant Riggs, you know, questions. And the Defense Department people were kept out of my vision, you know, kept behind me. So, you know, we couldn't, you know, so I couldn't see, you know, who these high-ranking people were. And they kind of, you know, we're conducting the study through Lieutenant Teague as the person who was, you know, asking the questions.
So about how many of you were there that weren't considered part of the high-ranking folks and weren't the officers in charge? About how many other folks like yourself were there to participate in this discussion? And Tim, could you stay on top of your phone, please? Because you keep drifting off a little bit.
Oh, yes.
Much better.
Well, there was about 100 people in our unit, and I'd say probably about 70 of them were enlisted people,
okay,
like me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had sergeants like Sergeant Middleton, Sergeant Riggs, Sergeant Arroyo, you know, Sergeant Jackson, Sergeant Edwards, you know, all the sergeants, and then the officers, like Lieutenant Teague and Major DePiro, Colonel Morrison, you know. So, you know, just, I don't know whether the, you know, other batteries in the unit took part, because at that time, I wasn't a real gung-ho 24-hour-day soldier. So, like, Dan Henderson and McFarland tried to talk to me about the study one day after work, but, you know, I just told them, well, hell, that's work, you know.
Were you told during these discussions, when you were sitting around just throwing out ideas and kicking things around, were you told at any point that what you said, what you did, what you thought about, and what happened in this meeting stays in that meeting? Were you ever told that at that point?
No, at the beginning, there was no restriction. It was, you know, loose, open. You know, we weren't in a confined, like, locked room or anything. And there was no restriction on discussing anything until one day, you know, during the study, it was starting to get to me. So I just blurted out, you know, that if the security improvements were not made, that I would do everything I could to tell the American people, you know, about this study if we got attacked.
Well, what would make you say that? I mean, what were some of the things that were said that would cause you to say that?
Well, basically we were, you know, discussing, you know, attacking America and some of the different ways it could be done and how the government could set it up to make it look like it was an accident, you know. So it was a lot of, you know, stuff for, you know, a young person to, you know, be woken up to. And that's the reason, you know, why I said it. And then Lieutenant Teague and Sergeant...
Okay, speak into the phone a little better, please.
Okay, Lieutenant Teague and Sergeant Middleton each took me by one arm, carried me down the hallway, and then told me, you know, you're in the military now. You can't be telling people that the Army fails, you know, if they do. And I explained that I wasn't, you know, talking about the people who were taking part in the study, because we were all, you know, trying to prevent, you know, any attack. But the people in the government who might not make, you know, the security improvements. And then I was dismissed for the day. And then about a week later, I was called back to the office and told to stand next to Lieutenant Teague. And then I was given non-rescindable orders that if we were attacked in the manner in which we discussed in the study, the World Trade Center, that I was to tell the American people about this study.
That you were to tell them that?
Yes, I was given non-rescindable orders to do that.
Were you the only person that you were aware of who were given such non-rescindable orders, as you say?
Yes, because later, Sergeant Riggs came to me and told me that the other people had been contacted and told that they were to not say anything about the study. And that they were told that the government would put a censorship, you know, on the information. And he told me that if I could break the media censorship, then the other people involved would come forward, because they had threatened their wives and children with retaliation if they exposed the information.
And we have to take a break right now. I'm talking to Tim McNiven. He's a former special ops soldier. He's joining us from Washington State. Also, the reporter that broke this story, Greg Seismansky, a reporter for Arctic Beacon. He's joining us from Southern California. We're talking about how there was a plan. In 1976, the government funded a study to topple the Twin Towers using jetliners. This was in 1976. Jetliners, Arabs, terrorists, and box cutters. Stay with us. I'm Liz Brown.
It is your sweet conversation that brings this sensation. Oh, love, yes, just an image of you.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920 WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Wednesday morning at 8 on the Wake Up Call, our guest is Mark Price, labor economist with the Keystone Research Center. He's co-author of a new study that reveals qualifications for early childhood education teachers have been dropping over the past 20 years. About one out of every three teachers and administrators now only has a high school diploma or less. The main problem is low pay. Quality early education is vital for children to succeed in school and in life. But why are they not getting it? We'll take a closer look at this appalling situation Wednesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Victims of Hurricane Katrina are attempting to recover from the massive storm. American Red Cross volunteers have been deployed to the hardest-hit areas of Katrina's destruction, supplying victims left homeless with critical necessities. By making a financial gift to support relief efforts, the Red Cross can provide shelter, food, counseling, and other assistance to those affected by Hurricane Katrina. The work has just begun. Victims of Hurricane Katrina needs your help now. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps. Right. Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues!
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I suck a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Single game tickets on sale now at the box office, Ticketmaster outlets, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Coming up on October 17th, it's a special two-hour edition of Mondays at 9. We should call it Mondays at 8. Our special guest is Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is a professor of psychiatry at George Washington Medical School. His publication takes a look at the actions of President Bush over the last several years. Dr. Frank says the inconsistencies and denials he exhibits are troubling. His tendency to avoid taking responsibility is a pattern that has gone on long before he became president, and this leads to concerns about the safety of all people whose lives he touches. This interview will be full of revelations that will seem outrageous, but when you put all the pieces together, the picture becomes clear. In addition, we'll have several copies of the book to give away to the listening audience during the interview. So don't miss this special edition of Mondays at 9, starting at 8, on Monday, October 17th, with Dr. Justin Frank and Bush on the Couch, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Around the world, behind the story, it's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of a hill.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. We're talking to two folks, Tim McNivens, a former special ops soldier, joining us from Washington State, and a reporter for the Arctic Beacon from Southern California, Greg Szymanski. And we're talking about a whistleblower on a 1976 government-funded perfect terrorist plan to topple the Twin Towers. Greg, I'd like to have you jump in here for a second. How did you find out about this story? What drew you to this story, got you to this story back in March? Because this is when you broke it.
Yeah, well, listen, I found out about Tim, and then I just basically called him up and talked with him. And, you know, did verify the unit and the people, some of the people he mentioned in the unit. But it's not uncommon that in stories like this, it's hard to either find people or to get the military on record of anything. And I could give a number of analogies. But the real key to this story is that during the conversations that they were having regarding this terror, regarding this plan, I believe it was Lieutenant Teague at one point mentioned that they were going to use the Twin Towers as examples. I think Tim failed to mention.
Right, and we hadn't got to that because, Tim, that's not where it started, is it? They just started with a government 100-story or just a 100-story building.
Yes.
How did the word Twin Towers enter into the discussion? How did that happen?
Well, about 2 or 3 days, you know, after I was called to the office, Lieutenant Teague said that orders had came down that the 100-story building had been changed to the World Trade Center Twin Towers, and that there was no explanation why. It was just a military order, and that from that time on, for the rest of the study, it would be the building of concern, which is what they called it. And then throughout the study, it was never called the Twin Towers again. It was just referred to as the building.
Now, did everybody in the planning session here, did in the discussion group, did everybody understand it to be the Twin Towers? Or was it just you?
Yes. One day, Sergeant Terry Henderson made the comment in the hallway that Lieutenant Teague said that he could do this since it was his orders and duty to do it, but that it was weird to be asked to plan to blow up your own hometown because Lieutenant Teague was from Long Island, New York. So it kind of upset Lieutenant Teague, you know, that it had been changed from just any, you know, building to specifically the Twin Towers.
And, Greg, you have been reporting on stories like this for some time. Were you surprised at this story, or were you just kind of like, okay, this is the confirmation that for everything that I've been reporting on?
Well, it didn't. Yes, it surprised me in a bit that it went back that far and that they actually, Tim came forward. And you know, the question here, and you got to realize that a lot of times you have to look at the official story, the 9/11 story, and how they justified it and how the media allowed the government to just propagandize what happened. Now, basically, most of my stories regarding 9/11 are bringing up other opinions, other people that are talking about the other side of the story. And I believe that it should get just as much merit as unfounded government basically lies, and then justifications for their lies by other lies told by other government agents that are put on CNN and all the major networks to propagandize what happened. We never got an investigation into 9/11 from the 9/11 Commission, and I could go into hundreds of people who've had their testimony just basically ignored by officials and by the media. So basically, when people come back to me and say, well, this story, you got to find people that, you know, something, I say, well, listen, why can't you just listen to some people that have no reason to lie about this story, no benefit?
And as opposed to a government that has every reason and every benefit.
They have every benefit, and they have every motive to commit that crime, and we still are allowing the media to propagandize this to people in America. Now, secondly, now ask this question about Tim. I wrote a couple stories about this, and then a couple months ago, I asked Tim to prepare a book for a company that wanted to maybe publish his book. And when he was emailing me a final portion of that, he was then tell him, Tim, about the FBI coming to your house. Now, why are they even bothering with him if there's no credibility to this story? That's an interesting story about the FBI coming to his house.
And, Tim, talk to us about this, because it wasn't just the book. It was also your DOD card also, wasn't it?
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
On July 6th of 2005, four FBI agents came to my apartment in Bellingham, and they said they were there to talk to me about an email I had sent to them over a year before, asking their assistance in finding the people from C Battery, and to provide me with addresses or phone numbers if they could get them.
And C Battery are the people that you're looking for, the people that were there with you in Germany when this experiment was taking place.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I was talking to them, and then they kind of turned nasty towards me, and then they demanded that I show them my ID card again, which I did. And then they were saying, well, we've never seen a DOD ID before. And then Lance Boyer, he decided that...
And he was one of the agents there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He decided that they were going to confiscate it since they didn't know what a DOD ID looked like. This was the legal reason that they gave me.
And Tim, this took place in your hallway outside of your apartment.
Yes.
Did you know they were coming? Did they call before they came, or did they just show up?
No, they just showed up.
And how many of them were there?
Four.
So four agents and you.
Yeah, and one of the agents told me that if I did not surrender my ID to them, that they would go to the Bellingham Police Department, get more reinforcements, come back and tear my apartment apart to get my ID.
Why did they say that they came to your apartment? What was the reason?
Well, over a year before, I had sent them an email asking them to help me locate the members of C Battery, and I stated to them, that I was, a federal agent.
So they said that they were responding to that specific email? That's what they told you in the hallway outside of your apartment?
Yes. And then it turned into, like, a little nasty argument. Prior to my turning my ID over to them, while Lance Boyer was holding it in his hand, kind of taunting me with the fact that he had it, I reached out and took it out of his hand.
And then what happened?
And then that's when they decided that they were going to go get the Bellingham police and tear my apartment apart because, I wasn't afraid of them. I don't have to be afraid of the FBI because... As a DOD agent, I am a superior to them.
Now, Greg, what I'm hearing you say is that they had this email from Tim for over a year and they hadn't done anything. It wasn't until that they had that you had received like the last part of his book.
Yeah, we were just in fact we were communicating that day. It was kind of strange. And I don't know if it was the last part or the first part. He sent me an email regarding that from his webmaster sending me a portion of the book, and then he called me or emailed and said he'd just been visited by the FBI. So basically what I did then is I wanted to double check, and not that I didn't believe Tim. I just wanted to make sure that this happened and basically called the FBI office in Bellingham that day. And they told me they would call me back. I told them I was working on the story, and this happened. He told me that I said basically that I wanted to make sure this was true. And they said they'd call me back. So I figured they never would, because many times I've called the FBI and they just don't respond to anything. But sure enough, within an hour, I got a call back from the FBI office there, and they said yes. Four agents did go there.
Wow.
One was Lance Boyer. and they took his card. And I said, well, did you have a warrant? And they said, well, you can't respond to anything else but that.
And
so they refused to talk further on anything. But that was more than what you usually get, and I found that to be rather weird.
That's queer.
Because the FBI may basically, I've called them many times, and most 90% of the time I never get a call back. So we can't respond to that investigation right now.
And we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Tim McNiven, former special ops soldier, joining us from Washington State. Greg Seismansky, reporter for the Arctic Beacon, joining us from Southern California. We're talking about a former U.S. Army corporal who blew the whistle on a 1976 government-funded, did you hear me, government-funded study to topple the Twin Towers using jetliners, terrorists, box cutters, and this was again in 1976. Are you scared yet? I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. The Iraqi government is looking for 28 former officials in the U.S.-backed government of former Prime Minister Iyad Alawi. Arrest warrants have been issued for them in connection with a disappearance or misappropriation of $1 billion in military procurement funds. Many of the former ministers are believed to have skipped the country. An investigation has been ongoing for months that millions was thrown away on overpriced deals for faulty weaponry and military hardware and was done in order to launder the cash. The corruption allegations will hurt Alawi in his efforts to put together a coalition of moderates to run against the current ruling Shia-led coalition so he can try to get back into the government. The former ministers of defense, transportation, labor, electricity, and housing are among those being sought. And Dateline Detroit. Auto parts maker, the Delphi Corporation, has filed for bankruptcy protection. This means it plans to shut down or sell off dozens of plants in North America, as well as cut wages and reduce health care and pension benefits for its 33,000 union workers and 12,000 retirees. Delphi CEO Robert Miller says a large portion of the 45 factories will have to be closed or sold off, and contracts will have to be renegotiated with the workers. The first thing that's going to happen is an end to health care and life insurance for Delphi retirees starting in December. Delphi has been underfunding its retirees' costs by over $10 billion as of the first of the year. Miller says it inherited the pension problems from General Motors when it spun off Delphi 6 years ago. Miller is also believed to substantially curtail the pension plan for current Delphi employees. Last week, the company says its employees will have to take a wage cut of as much as 60% and will no longer be able to guarantee that laid-off workers will get paid. But while all this is taking place, the company has also filed documents with the Securities and Exchange Commission that allow it to improve the severance pay of 21 top managers if they wind up losing their jobs during the bankruptcy proceedings. And the company also plans to reward top executives who stay with the company with stocks and bonuses of as much as 200% of what they draw on their salary each year. And here's another twist. Delphi has about 70,000 workers in Mexico who make about $70 a week. Their wages are also going to be cut. Delphi has been investing heavily in China, where workers are paid 90 cents an hour. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? The Old Testament prophet Micah asked that question of his people thousands of years ago. Since 1994, that question has been one of the bedrock values of Hope for the Nations. In 20 countries around the world, Hope for the Nations turns today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders, provides security so children can become confident young people, actively trains them to become productive leaders in their society, and helps their communities to become self-sufficient. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and how you can become part of their worldwide ministry. Go online at www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. What is the Lord requiring of you?
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Don, Ace Black helicopter pilot, your certified conspiracy hunter and all-around decent person. If you want to hear 3 hours of rock'em sock'em beat up on the New World Order crowd, tune in here at WGNU, 9:20 a.m. every Wednesday, 10 o'clock in the morning. We do a no razzmatazz, brass knuckles war on the New World Order crowd. Their house of cards is about to come crashing down, my friends. Come listen to the thunderous crash as we pull the linchpin from the fragile ivory towers of the neocons and insiders in Camp Run Amok every Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. with Decent Guy Don at WGNU, 9:20 a.m., Radio Free St. Louis. Stay tuned.
The Webster University Film Series presents Edgar G. Ulmer, King of the Bees, from October 14th through the 16th at 8 p.m. each night. The film series presents a weekend of low-key, low-brow, and low-budgeted masterpieces from the King of the Bee picture. Weekend passes are available for $12. Admission to individual films is $4 to $6. To find out more, call 314-968-7487. Bee Movie News to you from WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Better wait a minute. You better hold the phone. Better hide your mouth.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake-Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. We are talking to Tim McNiven, former special ops soldier, and Greg Seismansky, reporter for the Arctic Beacon, and we're talking about Tim blowing the whistle in a 1976 government-funded study to topple the Twin Towers using jetliners, terrorists, and box cutters. Tim, what did you think on September 11th? What went through your mind?
Well, when I got up on September 11th, I started making coffee and turned the TV on, and, you know, I see a building with some smoke coming out of the window, but there's no commentary, so I just went about getting my coffee and sat down and started watching TV, and then I saw the second plane, you know, crash into the World Trade Center, and then the announcer came back on and said, oh my God, another plane has hit Twin Towers. Then, I knew, where it was. Then about a half an hour later, it dawned on me that I had just watched what we had discussed in the study, and I went hysterical. I was cussing and swearing, calling them bastards, that they had damn well did it. And for about 2 weeks, I went into shock. And then I contacted the FBI.
Wait a minute, Tim. Did you ever have any idea that, okay, Jesus, all this happened, they did it, it was done. If I tell something's going to happen to me, did that ever cross your mind, that you would be putting yourself in danger for that?
Oh, no. I had, when the 9/11 attacks happened, that activated my non-rescindable orders, so I had orders too. Mm-hmm. Tell the American people about the study, and that's what I've been doing since September 2001.
So who did you call, and who did you talk to, the first person that you called and talked to?
Oh, the first contact I had was with the FBI. I sent them an email about the study and specifically named Lieutenant Teague and Sergeant Middleton as, two members from C Battery, to contact and talk to about it. But I, told them, they needed to contact, the other people so they could get, their information about it.
Did you hear anything back from them?
Well, I got one of their automatic response emails stating, that we received your information, and thank you for helping during, this time of trouble.
And did you ever hear back from them?
On July 6th, when they showed up at my doorstep.
Wait a minute, July 6th of 2005?
Yes. That was the only time I got contact from them.
Well, so you didn't hear anything from the FBI. Who did you contact next to try to tell about this?
Oh, well, newspapers, TV stations, radio stations, magazines. I You know, I wrote, sent emails to, every newspaper I could get an email for. I contacted the United Nations. I contacted media in Canada and in Europe.
Did anybody call you back? Write you back? Email you back?
I got a couple of raspberry emails, with the strongest worded one was that I was full of baloney. I had a couple that people were interested, but they didn't have, the budget to do an investigation, but like over 99% didn't respond at all.
Did you ever contact Lieutenant Teague?
Well, I contacted the U.S. Army Rangers Association because he was a ranger, and I got an anonymous email back stating that he did not want to have contact with me. And that's the only contact, I got from, Lieutenant Teague in my search for him.
And, Greg, you took, and Tim, you took a lie detector test about this, didn't you?
Yes, Mr. Weller, a former Canadian Army officer, gave me a polygraph exam in June.
And speak into the phone, please. We can't hear you.
Yeah, in June of 2002, and Mr. Weller was trained by the U.S. Army as a military polygraph examiner. And the exam he gave me was the same one that the U.S. government uses.
And how did you do?
I passed.
And, Greg, the media's response to this comes as no surprise to you.
No, not at all. I mean, this is a story that lays background that there was plans to bring about a 9/11 type incident, but the media has been so lackadaisical that this is just one in 100 examples I could give, others being more specific as far as eyewitness information, as far as other credible information. We have 7 of the hijackers still alive, and that story hasn't been touched on very much by the media. It's about time America realizes that the media is not our friend anymore. They're not doing their job under the First Amendment, and they're part of the destruction of what's going on in our country right now, right to the gas pump. As you go in today, and you pay $2.90 a gallon.
Greg, we need you to give your website.
Website is www.arcticarcticbeacon.com.
And I want to thank you both, Tim McNiven. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call. And Greg, as always, it's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you.
Take care.
And thank you.
You're welcome. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The expected death toll.
Pakistan's interior minister said the number of confirmed deaths is 33,000, and the actual number is probably much higher. Amazingly, even 4 days after the quake, they're still finding survivors. This